Around Comics, Episode 54. This is Around Comics, a weekly roundtable discussing topics in and around the world of comics. I'm your host, Christopher Niesman, and I'm joined, as always, by my partner in crime and the co-host of Around Comics, Brian Salazar.
Hello once again.
And we have our Around Comics regular, Mr. Tom Caters.
I had to prepare for something this week.
Yeah, this is all your fault.
The Tom Show.
The Tom Show.
And rounding out the crew, fresh off of his maiden voyage and back for a second helping, is the man behind the glass, the producer of Around Comics,
Bucky.
Mr. Dustin Bucky Drace.
Howdy.
Bucky.
All right, guys. Glad to see everyone made it to the shop in one piece. It is a dark and stormy night. On the north side of Chicago. It was very treacherous out there. But we're not going to be deterred.
Treacherous.
I almost got...
It'll beguile you into its house, and then when you're not looking, it'll, like, strangle you.
Hey, you obviously don't drive up and down Western Avenue.
You don't get to use beguile.
I don't think I used it correctly either.
That's all right.
Big words.
This episode of Around Comics is sponsored by...
Oh, the New York Comic Con. The New York Comic Con is bigger, better, and has double the space.
How
with
can
more,
you forget that?
I don't know. With more gaming and anime for 2007. Come to the Jacob Javits Center February 23rd through the 25th and experience the biggest pop culture event in New York City featuring comics, anime, manga, graphic novels, video games, trading card games, RPG, MMOs, toys, movies, TV celebrities, and more. Guest of honors include Stan Lee, Jeff Smith, J. Michael Straczynski, George Perez, and many, many more to be announced. For a complete list of guests, as well as show information, visit www.newyorkcomiccon.com. That's www.nycomiccon.com. Buy your tickets online now to ensure your spot for the 2007 show. Tickets are available now at a discounted rate and advance purchases at www.newyorkcomiccon.com. Don't miss out on the 2007 New York Comic Con, and we'll be there, too.
Yes. Come meet Tom Caters.
Yes. He's a rock star.
It's not that great.
Yeah,
I feel like you're going to be really disappointed.
When they finally meet you.
Well, I don't know how I'm going to get into the building because...
Your giant head?
I weigh 700 pounds. Not many people know that about
you're,
me. About
you're wearing the sumo wrestler suit?
I'm going to be wearing a parachute. And hopefully someone will be able to wheel me in.
Tom never actually shows up to Dark Tower. We have to phone him in because he's bedridden. He's been bedridden for 13 years.
I've been bedridden for 25 years.
Speaking of Dark Tower, Around Comics is recorded every Friday at 7 o'clock at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by. We would love to meet you. And while you're at Dark Tower, you can ask about their Pull Box membership. It is one of the best you'll ever find. You can also check out their enormous selection of trade paperback statues, action figures, and back issues. Yay, Dark Tower.
Going off the script there a little, weren't you?
Yeah, ad-lib.
I didn't see it on my show notes. I was like, wow, Tom, what's going on?
Ad-lib. Totally ad-lib.
Nice, yeah. Very nice.
In October, November, you can enter our Around Comics contest. That is the Exterminators Bug Hunt.
Here's your chance to jump into the amazing world of the Exterminators. From now to November 30th, you need to find 10 items spread out over issues 6 through 9 of the Exterminators. Write down what issue, page, and panel each one can be found in, and email us your answers at info@aroundcomics.com. We'll draw from all the correct entries to find our bug hunt winner. Someone will win.
And what will they win?
The first place will win a received... We'll receive a signed copy of the first Exterminators Collected Edition, Bug Brothers, as well as a signed script from author Simon Oliver and a one-of-a-kind sketch from series artist Tony Moore.
We have to remember that whenever Tom is reading stuff, that one of us has to do the ad-libbed improv.
Well, I know, we're not the improv guys that he's used to dealing with.
So Tom's like, this is where I would jump in and say something.
Conversational tone.
What does second place win?
We'll receive
a kick in the eye.
We'll receive a signed copy of Bug Brothers.
Yay.
And everyone else, you just get to read a really good book.
Sure. We're getting lots of entries now, and you know, I don't know if any of them are correct. But
a couple of them are. A couple of them aren't.
You already went through them?
I've looked at a couple.
Oh.
And Do it. Go read those issues.
Terminator's awesome. Oh, we should give Simon a call sometime soon.
Yeah.
Just to check in with him, see how things are going.
Speaking of Tony Moore, though, I was going to talk about it later.
Who mentioned Tony Moore?
Well,
I
Exterminator.
Did.
Oh, did you?
I was going to announce it later in the show, but next week, really good show coming up. We're going to be talking with Rick Remender and Tony Moore.
Rick Remender is the hardest working man in comics, in my opinion.
Has to be.
He actually runs a printing plant where they print them. He lives in Canada.
He owns Crevacor.
Yeah, that's what he does. He staples each one.
So get on that Exterminators bug hunt, and next week you can learn a little bit more about the Exterminators and Fear Agent and The Walking Dead and... Oh, gosh. What else is Rick? Last Christmas.
Strange Girl. I don't know. He's doing the Battlestar Galactica, the classic Battlestar Galactica stuff.
He's all over the place.
You learn a little bit about yourself, too, probably.
Probably.
Also, again, remember that your Around Comics experience isn't complete until you've read this week's Long Box of Love. Each episode of Around Comics has a wonderfully handcrafted webcomic from listener Brian Bowles. Check it out every Monday at www.aroundcomics.com.
And after you check out the Long Box of Love, hang around the site and fill out our PodTrack survey. It lets us know who we're talking to and how we can make Around Comics a better show. It only takes a few minutes, so go there and fill it out.
Yeah.
If you like us, you'll do it.
Even if you don't like us, tell us why.
Yeah, do that too and tell us why.
Tell us about how our announcements at the beginning of the show are way too long.
Yeah.
All right, guys, our main topic this evening, Tom is the one that put this together. Tom did something.
So blame him. No.
Blame me for the next half hour to 45 minutes.
We're very, very excited about this. So thank you, Tom. I think this is a book that we had all picked up. And this is straight from the Image press release. I'll use this as our introduction. The Nightly News, and that's the book that we're going to be talking about for the majority of the first part of the
Jonathan
show.
Jonathan Hickman.
It is a politically and socially aware comic book that is sure to raise eyebrows from the comics world, and it certainly did on our show. It is already being compared to comics work of indie comic legend Brian Wood. The Nightly News is the debut book for creator Jonathan Hickman, who handles all of the writing, art, lettering, and coloring himself.
I only have one question for Jonathan Hickman when we talk to him is, where does he find pants to fit his enormous balls in? Because
that is a ballsy book.
We'll get to it.
Okay.
All right, guys.
It's on his website.
Oh, all right.
He also makes his own pants for his gigantic balls. Sells them.
He's a very talented young man.
Around Comics is happy to welcome Jonathan Hickman. Jonathan, welcome to the show, and thank you for being on Around Comics.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.
You are the first guest that I have ever been in charge, ever had to go get. Usually I do nothing at all.
So we're calling this Tom's show.
Yeah, this is the first time Tom did anything proactive.
Definitely applause to you for actually getting Tom off of his ass to actually go and get a guest.
All right. Tom's big night.
Yeah, you should be encouraged by that. Usually my happiness is just like, oh, that was good.
Yeah,
and
but
I just go to sleep.
we all get this email. I guess last week, and it was something along the lines of, "Holy shit, have you read the Nightly News? We've got to talk to this guy." And so I guess that's where we'll start is with the Nightly News, because it's only about a week and a half old as far as the comic stands go. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about what the Nightly News is?
Sure, it's a big scheme of it is it's a revenge story about all these people that have had their lives destroyed, deservedly so or not deservedly so by media reports, erroneous stuff made up, stuff blown out of proportion. And instead of doing the normal thing that, a lot of people do whenever they get the torn apart in a tabloid-like fashion, instead of crawling in a hole or killing themselves or, just using their celebrity to do other stupid stuff like, celebrity boxing or something like that. These guys decide to take revenge. And so they set out to make some changes in the way that the news is reported and the way that, the media behaves in general, and it all kind of spirals out of control from there.
Now, this is your first published work, but obviously you're not any, you know, you're not new to design work and art. I mean, it's not like you just picked up a pencil one day and decided to draw and write a comic. What's your background as far as art and comics are?
I graduated from Clemson University. That's in South Carolina. And I go to an architecture school. Well, they have an architecture and an art school there. And I majored in architecture. I kind of minored in fine arts. And when I graduated, I tried to break into comics. You know, I did the whole submission thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I did DC and Marvel, and Image was brand new then. And, you know, failed miserably. I've got a huge stack of rejection letters and stuff like that. But I didn't get in because I really, at the time, I wasn't even remotely good enough. And I was just trying to draw like everybody else and stuff like that. And from there, I went and I had to actually get a job. And I got into early on, I got into like interactive CD-ROM development, and that turned into web development, and that turned into advertising, and that's kind of what I've been doing for a decade. So,
well, yeah, unfortunately, our listeners don't have the advantage of being able to look at the nightly news while we're talking with you. And the way I would describe go get it. pause, go get it, and read along with us. Sal and I were talking a little bit this week as to what it reminds us of, and it's almost like each page is like a self-contained informational poster almost, and it is so graphic intensive. And I'm an art director by trade, and I was extremely impressed by just the graphic content of it.
Well, I mean, it's I think it's obvious what my background, you know, what I've been doing for the last several years. You know, I think my influences are pretty obvious. It is a different kind of way of storytelling. I don't know whether or not people will consider it a successful endeavor. I mean, I don't know whether or not, critically, people will be accepting. I mean, a lot of people have been saying really nice things about it, and I've been getting a lot of really nice email, and I've been getting what I would consider very good reviews for somebody that's never produced anything before. I'm being completely honest. It really is an experiment. And it is one that, from time to time, I could fail on a page. And I think that the thing, that deserves recognition or, any kind of accolades about it is that I'm trying something different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I found it almost, at the beginning, I was almost slightly intimidated by it when I opened it up because it's so different from what I'm used to, a page or two to get into it. But it is a very different way of presenting information with all the sort of infographics.
This is not a sit down and read it in 10 minutes comic book.
No.
And that is a high compliment.
Yeah, I mean, I'm proud of that, though. I mean, I'm not... I love comics. I'm not like a comic snob or anything like that. I don't refuse to read Marvel and DC books or anything stupid like that. I mean, I love those companies, and I love a lot of the work that's being produced by them. I read, the full width and breadth of what's coming out in comics, from, Marvel to Ad House. But I'm tired of 10-minute reads, and I don't mean that like in a disparaging way. It's just that it's kind of like every comic is doing it. And it's not just a, a lot of people blame it on collecting for trade.
Mm-hmm.
Not that stories are padded and stuff like that, but they're telling a long story and they're taking their time with it. And, it's taking six issues to cram something, to tell something that could be crammed into a lot shorter period of time, page-wise. But, I just want something with, a little bit more density to it.
Well, I think it's interesting because I think when a lot of people think of books that are sort of compressed storytelling, they think of, a page with eight gridded things in it jammed as many, panels of action within it. But you've managed to achieve the same thing without having to almost go to a really traditional style of fitting a lot of story into it. I mean, it's still a very aggressive sort of layout, but with a ton of information.
Well, yeah, this book is an economy of words. You can have a page filled with dialogue that has one point to it, but that's what I felt with Nightly News, is that each page had some very important things to say that made you stop and kind of chew on them for a few minutes, and it was refreshing.
Well, I was talking to somebody the other day. I'm trying to remember who it was, but we were kind of talking. They were asking me about my book, and I was kind of talking about it. And they were talking about other people that you know are considered kind of graphic design-y people within the industry. You know, like Ashley Wood or Chris Ware or Paul Pope or stuff like that. And I was like, and I love those guys. I mean, they're amazing. But I said the thing that I'm kind of doing that's a little bit different. And you guys were touching on it, talking about multiple panels, you know, to make a page have a lot of content. You know, those guys are still telling stories beat by beat by beat, you know, talking about panel to panel to panel. And I feel like what I'm doing is I'm telling a story without any beats. It's just like there are, like, multiple tones on the same page. Does that make any sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
Yeah, I
think that's kind of the difference. I think that's why it reads so different than a lot of the books out there.
Your eyes...
I don't know. I could be talking out of my ass completely. it's an experiment kind of stuff. So.
Sure,
eyes go across the page very differently than you would reading.
I felt like
normal.
Each page was a beat, or a collection of pages were a single beat, if you're going to look at it from that perspective.
Well, you know, looking back at it, because it is, it's so different of a read, and yet, you know, it's like, it is dense, but you look at the pages and they're not a typical... you know, it's not a George Perez kind of page where you're looking at 1,000 different things. It's you're forcing the reader to think about things more than just look at something. And that's, to me, pretty unique. I mean, you don't see that in comics very much, where it's multiple ideas presented in a page, not necessarily visually, but a combination of visually and the text and just the concept of what is being talked about. And that, to me, was very refreshing and something that I hadn't really seen ever before. I had seen this book, when it was first sort of solicited. Right. And the cover struck me as just something, you know, I knew instantly I was going to pick up, but I had no idea that it was going to be what it was, and I was really impressed by it. I guess I should ask a question at this point, but
question mark.
Yeah. Well, I have a lot of questions, but I guess my first question is, you know, where did this idea come from? Is this sort of your political ideology, or is this just something that you're so sick of what's going on in this country that you wanted to say something, or, you know, or is it just a story?
I'm going to disappoint people, but, you know, it's just a story. I mean, I don't know whether it's a lot or a little amount of press and interviews and stuff like that for the book. I've gotten solicited for a lot, and I've done a lot of these email interviews, and I've done some phone interviews, and almost, you know, to a man, you know, people, you know, first, second, third question is always, you know, why are you so angry?
what
like, cross that like off the list, Chris.
Hey, Jonathan.
I feel like I'm disappointing him when I say no. I'm pretty happy guy. You know, it's a story. You know, and it's the narrator, the main character. Yes, he is an angry guy. You know, yes, he is somebody that's had his life completely ruined, and yes, he is upset about it, and yes, he's tired of all the industrial stuff that supports him, you know, supports the industry that, you know, tore him up, and that there's, you know, a helplessness that comes from trying to fight something that's so huge. And you know, that's the way he talks. And it doesn't help that the other people that he's hanging around with in the first issue are cult people, and they're great, you know, they talk like cult people. As the book goes on, a lot of that evens out. I mean, don't get me wrong, the cult is still there, and there certainly are strong viewpoints, you know, about the media and all that kind of stuff, and the political stuff and education stuff, and all that is tied into it. But it reads a little bit more like a narrative and not a rant, you know, like the first 10 pages do of it, so...
I really got that. I mean, you had mentioned in the very back page, you had talked about how, you know, this isn't necessarily a statement. You know, it's a story. But and I got the feeling that you were trying to say that in the story itself by putting the main character as this person that, yeah, he may be saying a lot of things that people may think or feel, but at the same time, he's not necessarily a character that a lot of us would want to emulate.
I don't think he's a good guy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't think there are a lot of good guys in the story that I'm telling because, you know, at that kind of level in the muck, there aren't a lot left, you know, so.
I think there's also an interesting tension in the book between the fact that I think a lot of people kind of hate the news and the way the news is presented in this country, but a lot of people would complain about it, but not a lot of people would go shoot reporters in the head. And now, so all of a sudden you're confronted sort of with, you know, do you hate it that much? Is that like...
Well, that's what I mean, were you worried at all writing it, you know, before it came out that you were going to get a reaction from people of, you know, well, so this is how you feel, this is what you think people should do, this is how, you know, this is a solution sort of attitude?
Well, of course I'm concerned about reaction. I've gotten some interesting emails since the book has come out. I feel like I'm being true to the story. This is the way the characters would act. Now, if you're asking me if I'm worried that some loon is going to go get a high-powered rifle and start, you know, knocking off reporters, you know, no, I don't think that, you know, my book is going to influence anybody to do that.
Well, I do have a theory that fanboys would be very good serial killers just for the collector mentality. You know, it's like, I got to have Peter Jennings, I got to have Tom Brokaw.
He's already off the list.
Connie Chung.
Yeah, they would bag and board him, though, so you wouldn't have to worry about that. It wouldn't be like a book. So.
I'm going
to
slab him.
Mylar covered Connie Chung.
But, well, I mean, that was the thing that, when I got finished reading the book, and I actually didn't finish reading it until last night. I didn't get my hands on it until Thursday. And I read it last night. And when I was done with it, the thing that I thought the most was, wow, you have a lot of guts. I mean, this is a and I mean that as a compliment. I mean, most first attempts, let alone, I mean, there are guys in comics that write for a long time, let alone a first attempt that would have the guts to deal with a subject of this, you know, sort of magnitude and to really put something out there. You know, this volatile, and I was impressed by your ability to just go, you know what, this is what I'm going to do, and not be afraid of any reaction to it. So,
put a question mark at the end of that.
Yeah, I don't have a question. I don't have there's no question on that. But
well, that's kind of a life thing, man. I mean, that's I found on your message board somebody brought up that they found out or they remembered that I did Comic Book Idol like 2.5 years ago.
Yeah, we were going to talk about that. Yeah,
and you know the day after the first round of that finished, Joe Quesada sent me an email, and we were emailing back and forth, and he wanted to see my portfolio, which I didn't have. And because I entered that contest on a whim. I mean, I hadn't even drawn in probably, you know, 3 years at that point, you know, because I'd really kind of just said I didn't want to. I gave up.
Yeah, you just pissed off a lot of people by saying that.
I haven't performed surgery in 10 years. Now I'm just going to go do heart surgery.
But anyway, I got a at the end of that Idol thing, that they wanted me to try out, you know, do the little Marvel tryout thing where they send you the Bendis script. And, you know, I did it, and I drew, you know, and I told the story exactly in the manner that probably 50 other people that want to work at Marvel did, you know, would have done. And I sent it off, and they were like, no, you suck. And you know, it was like one of those things where it's like, you know what? You know, you're going to have to do stuff your own way, you know? And so I spent, right after that, I spent like a year and a half trying to do a graphic novel. And I did it again. I mean, I wrote this horribly boring, you know, safe story, you know, superhero meets, you know,
female.
X-Men meets Avengers meets, you know, Trek. You know, what? However people met, plus zombies,
That would sell 100,000 copies if you put the right
You'd think. You'd think it would.
And I finished, 48 pages of it, and I sat down and I read it, and it was terrible. I mean, it was terrible. It was everything that I didn't like about books, you know? And so I threw that away, and I took 2 weeks, and I put together a submission for Image, and I drew 5 pages, and I laid them out like I do, did the first 5 pages of the Nightly News, and sent an Image, and I sent it off on a Monday, and by Friday I had a gig with them.
Wow. How many times have you rewritten / redrawn the first issue of Nightly News?
I haven't. I mean, I went and I tweaked it. Mm-hmm. I constantly tweaked it over the first 2 months, as it was getting ready and all that kind of stuff. But I didn't rewrite any of it. I mean, the first draft of the thing is the first draft of the issue. I messed around with the art because I was trying to figure out what would and wouldn't work. But, it was... The story wrote itself pretty quick. I mean, the whole thing was plotted out in like 3 days. I mean, I knew the whole story pretty quickly.
Now, we see this a lot in more in independent comics, but not in a lot of more mainstream comics. But you are the nuts and bolts of this operation. You are the writer. You're the artist, letterer, everything. Is that just how you like to work? Is by yourself, or do you see yourself?
Are you an angry loner?
Yeah. Yes, do you ever
I don't have any friends, I just sit at home and play video games. No, I don't think this would have worked if I would. I mean, at what part would I be able to farm out,
sure,
that I would be able to collaborate with somebody? I mean, obviously not the writing or the art. I mean, I couldn't farm out the coloring. I mean, that's just as integral, and it's all, mixed in with the line art and all as well, because there's all those, kind of color hole looking things. I certainly couldn't farm out the text, so... I don't think I had an option, if I was going to create this kind of cohesive, vision that I had.
Do you think that helps, is that this is a single vision, and it's, sometimes having a collaboration can help you flesh out ideas, but this is very singular in its vision, is how it's read, and I think it reflects that.
Yeah, I don't think there's any other way to do it. I honestly don't think you could replicate. I don't think that the talent factory at Marvel would be able to consistently replicate what I'm doing on the book. I don't think there's a way to write the script that that's what you're going to get. Because, I mean, people write by panels, That's how they write it. I think you guys know who Joe Casey is, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Do you guys remember when he got the uncanny gig at the same time that Grant Morrison was on the new X-Men?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And he worked with... I can't remember his name, maybe Richard Starkings is the comic craft guy. I'm not sure, the lettering guy.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember, like, the Poptopia stuff he was doing. You could tell that that's the direction that he wanted the book to go in, like a real graphic design kind of look.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you look, he followed that up with the Intimates at Wildstorm with all the little newsy things at the bottom. You look at him working on the work that he and Ashley Wood did on Automatic Kafka. You could just see that guy wanted to do this, but you just can't pull it off separate.
Sure.
No, that makes a lot of sense.
I think anyway, I could be wrong.
No, that makes a lot of sense. I never looked at it that way. But, going into, I wanted to touch on the research you had to have done for this book, because you put a lot of information in the book, specifically about... the globalization of media.
And we're just assuming it's all true.
Well, and that's something I want to touch on too, but how much research did you do and what did you try and make sure you weren't missing before you were willing to put this information out there?
My original idea was to, in issue 1, have everything be factual, and in issue 6, everything be a lie. And that would have been a cute little thing to do along with the story, to kind of prove my point. But the stuff I had, all the facts and figures and all that, were just too good to not use.
Mm-hmm.
Stranger than fiction kind of thing? Truth is stranger than fiction?
Yeah, yeah. Each, and all those little information graphics, they relate to, like, the broader theme of that individual issue. Like, mm-hmm. like the information graphics in issue 2 and issue 3 don't have anything to do with, you know, globalization and the corporatization of the news media or anything like that. They deal with completely different subjects. So, and then the hope is that the whole theme for all six issues, you know, kind of comes together and it proves kind of the whole point of the book.
Are you intentionally aware of the paradox of, you know, you're sort of talking about these news outlets and the misinformation that's going out there, and then at the same time you have a narrative that is providing the same sort of information? I mean, I'm assuming that's intentional. I'm assuming that that's going somewhere with the story.
Well, the guys, the PR guy at Image, well, he's not there anymore, Jim Dumanakis. Mm-hmm. He kept telling me over and over that I needed to make it simple, you know, whenever I was talking to people, you know.
And that's why he's not at Image anymore.
You know, no. So that's the whole pitch about, you know, it's a revenge story and all that, which is true. That is what it is. But that's kind of the surface story. You know, that's the action story. The theme, the meta theme of the whole thing is that
spoilers.
That's funny. There's no difference between the way that news organizations and cult leaders talk to their viewers and listeners. There's no psychological difference between the way that they communicate. Now, there's a difference between the way that they act and things that they do, but on a purely communication level and the language that they use, you know, loaded language, leading language, you know, fiction is fact and all that kind of stuff, or, you know, fact by omission and stuff like that. You know, that's kind of one of the things that I kind of picked up whenever I was doing all the research. They behave the same, the way that they talk to their viewers, believers, followers, whatever. And that's kind of the overall theme of the whole thing. So when you see the narrator of, you know, the cult, you know, saying all these things about people being duped into following a media and stuff like that, he's a dude too, you know? So, well, that obviously leads into other stuff, so.
Well, it leads into the question of which one of the news anchors do you think would be the best cult leader? And I would go with Brokaw.
Which one's dead? Is that Jennings is dead?
Jennings passed away, yeah.
Yeah, then that guy.
I think someone banking on Jennings.
I think there is an actual Walter Cronkite cult out there to some degree, just because of the sort of nostalgia factor of his news. And now you have the Edward R. Murrow, you know, cult.
That was a great line. The guy that's trying to validate his status or believability. He's like, I was handpicked by Edward R. Murrow. I mean, that was a great moment in the book. And
well, you know, Edward R. Murrow was great. You know, that guy was a real newsman. You know, it's a shame that Cronkite is the guy that followed him. I mean, I don't know if you have or not, but. You know the little speech that the Cronkite type character is giving?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's almost verbatim. That's from a speech he gave at like a UN conference or whatnot. You know, it's scary, scary stuff, man. This guy's a loon.
Well, I mean, it's like in other countries they refer to newscasters as news readers because that's what they are. It's not like any of these guys have ever. It's not like Brokaw's hacking his way through the jungle. Yeah. To go get, you know,
what's that
story?
Line? I ended a war. You know, that was a powerful statement in that. Well, guys, you want to go on and go to a couple forum questions here?
Sure.
Now you've already been to the forum, so you've taken a look at these. So we're expecting really good answers.
Okay. Shoot.
Fire away.
This one is from Chip or Weak Rocker on the forum. He asked, was it hard to pitch this book to Image? Having read their submission policy online, I'm wondering how much of the book was completed before you did the actual pitch.
Oh, 5 pages.
Okay.
Nice.
As we had already talked about. He goes on, he says, how long does it take to complete a single issue?
Probably about 3.5 weeks.
Okay.
How far along are you with it? Are you complete with it? Is it done, or are you still working on it?
Oh, no, it's not done. I am in the middle of issue 3 right now.
Okay.
Wow. But the whole thing is densely plotted, and all the like photo reference crap has already been shot and all that. So
So could is there a chance you could put like you know a podcaster getting his head blown off in episode you know in issue 4 maybe?
We hear that Tom has already sent his picture in. As far as the
we have a rule: we're only killing the bad guys here. So, I mean,
that's
how you feel about it. I mean, we can accommodate. You
know? Let's see how the rest of this interview goes.
Well, last week Tom tells us about the contest. I was like, oh wow, we should all three get together and do that as the podcast. Tom's like, I already sent mine in.
I'm not going to bank my hopes on you two.
You know, considering the content of your book, what do you feel about contests? I mean, contests. What do you feel about
contests?
What do you feel about?
They're great. I'm all for contests.
What do you feel about podcasting? And not necessarily comic book podcasting, but
just in general.
You know, just in general, podcasting as a medium.
Well, I'm kind of I live in South Carolina, and you know, we don't have what would be described as a thriving comic community or anything like that. And so I basically sit in my room and just draw and work on the computer and stuff like that. I mean, our local comic shop, they don't carry Image books, but they have a couple Dark Horse.
Wow.
You know, so it's only a Marvel DC shop. So, you know, you can only talk to guys about that stuff. You know, I spend a lot of my time listening to podcasts. I probably have between you guys and let's see who like Fanboy Radio and Word Balloon.
Do you listen to Word Balloon?
Oh yeah,
John,
that guy's good.
John, come on over.
John Suntress is actually here tonight. Yeah, he's standing in the.
Lurks. Hi, Jonathan.
Hey, how are you? Your show's terrible, man. I was just talking to you.
Good, because I hate your book. It sucks. And there's no way in hell I'm ever going to, like, email you
word
and have
balloon.
You on, too.
Listen to that shitty Word Balloon podcast.
That's the way you're so shitty about broadcasting, man. That's my turf. And I'm sneaking
John,
from Walter Cronkite. We're not happy.
John is a professional broadcaster, so maybe you should blow his head off.
Put me on the list. He's a little sensitive. We may have to take care of that.
No, it's awesome, Jonathan, honestly. And I, as soon as the guys told me you were coming on, I'm like, shit, they beat me to it. But I have every intention of emailing you next week and setting up a time.
All right, we scoop Suntress for once.
Wow, we finally got him. Next, Alan Moore. No,
well that's cool. Well, we're definitely kind of flattered that you listen to us, and I know you know John's probably feels the same. So that's cool. So thank you.
And pity.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about it is the point I was getting to is these shows are an incredible resource for people. I mean, listen, I'm happy that they're out there for the fans, and I'm happy that you guys have, you know, like a community that listens to the show and all that. But the shows, getting to hear other creators, you know, talk about their craft and talk about what they do and pump their books and just listening to them, you know, be energetic about the business is a tremendous asset. I mean, I'm a big fan of all those shows. So,
awesome.
You know, thanks.
Oh, thank
you're,
you.
You're
hey,
welcome.
Hey, we wouldn't have the show unless it was guys like you that are doing the books, and that's why we're
Let's
here.
Let's stop with the goddamn backslapping, everyone.
Thank you, John.
Masturbation is
it's almost,
wonderful.
Yeah, it's almost pornographic, the levels we're reaching.
All right, back to the questions. This is still from Week Rucker.
How many fucking questions?
He asked three. He asked three, and Chip's a good guy, so we'll ask. What? And I'm interested in this from, you know, because I'm a designer, not a very good one, but that's what I do. What software and techniques do you use in the production? I guess he's asking what software package you use.
I am pretty much strictly an Illustrator Photoshop guy.
Okay.
I mean, I draw with a brush and a nib. You know, sometimes I'll use, you know, markers or, you know, the little Copic pens or stuff like that. But, I mean, 75% of the book is done on the computer, and it's all Illustrator Photoshop. I mean, I might mess around and paint or some, but other than that, it's just that stuff. Basic tools.
Mm-hmm. Have you taken a look at the new Cintiq LCD tablet screens?
Yeah, I thought about buying one of those. My only concern is I heard that there's like a little lag in the brush time. You know, apparently it's something that you can get over pretty quick, and I saw some guys reviewing it, some, you know, professional colorists.
I don't know what you guys are talking
about. If you're at our forum or go to Gutter Zombie and Scott Johnson is usually hanging around one or the other, email him about it or PM him about it. We went over to Scott's last week and saw him use the Suntique in
Scott,
action.
Scott does awesome. Scott does a lot of the merchandising artwork for Marvel.
Okay.
So he uses a Suntique and it's
awesome.
It's pretty awesome.
It's awesome.
But anyway, next post was from Rom Lives. He said, "Are you gonna off Dan Rather and Ted Koppel? What a massacre that would be."
No, I'm sorry. I'm not. I love Ted Koppel. He's a mensch, you know. Dan Rather, I wouldn't hold your breath. He might not make it.
Fan fiction, everyone.
Yeah, but is he going to
write your own story?
Is he going to be singing train songs while he goes? All right, next one.
This one is from Super Harmon. Hickman was in the first series of CBR's Comic Book Idol. He was runner-up from memory. So if I had to ask a question, I guess it would be if that helped him along in any way.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it kind of got the juices flowing again, and I, you know, that was one of those things where I was like, you know, I really miss this. I would really like to do this, and I hate my job. So there you go.
Nice. And
the next one is from G-Dog. He said, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. That movie single-handedly turned me into punk goth my junior year of high school. I went from a classic rock loving average kid to an angry KMFDM and eyeliner dork within a week of watching Network. So as you might have guessed, I absolutely adored Nightly News. Was Network a influence on this book at all?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, that's a phenomenal movie. I picked up I think it's the 25-year anniversary DVD the other day. You know, and they've got all the extra commentary stuff on there and all that. And they actually had a little section on there talking about how Paddy Chayefsky told the studio that no, Stanley Kubrick couldn't direct the movie because it would be viewed as a Stanley Kubrick movie instead of a Chayefsky movie. You know, that was the coolest thing I got out of all that.
Nice.
So it's like when you get to veto that guy, when you get to veto Stanley Kubrick.
That's
you got some heat, man. That's
yeah,
cool.
No kidding. You got some pull. Speaking of influences, I mean, I've already heard a lot of people compare Nightly News to Brian Wood's work on DMZ and his other work. Was Brian Wood's stuff an influence at all or not?
Yes or no?
Yes or no?
Lightning round.
Not really. Not really. I mean, Brian is, you know, his background is he's a graphic designer. And I love his work. I love what he's doing, but I don't think the content of what he's doing is in any way reflected. But I love the comparison. He's a hell of a talent. I mean, he's really, really good.
Well, I think the comparisons come because it's hard to compare the Nightly News to anything, and I think that people are trying to grope for anything that they can compare it to, and Brian Wood is probably, you know, like Channel Zero, is that the one I'm
Channel
thinking
Zero
of? It's probably the closest Warriors. Thing that I've seen to it, so I think it was just because it's a very undefinable book compared to just about anything else that's out there, so kudos.
Oh, that's probably true. I mean, that's probably true. Mm-hmm. You know, I've emailed Brian about this, you know, everybody kind of comparing it to him, and I told him that, you know, I'm sorry. I'm not
really sorry.
You know, please don't think I'm like throwing your name around like we're pals or anything like that. And he was like, "No, it's cool. Don't worry about it."
Everything I've heard is that he's a very nice guy. So.
I will completely agree with you though. I mean, as far as you know, there's obviously I think what people are comparing are the graphic element to your storytelling and to the layout of the book. But as far as content wise, yeah, I mean, I think it's not in the same ballpark. I mean, it's not the same sort of storytelling at all. But it's hard to not take that as a compliment. I mean,
sure.
You know, he's...
No, he's kick-ass. I mean, it's not like I'm like, no, not Brian Wood. I mean, he's awesome. You know, it's just that I personally don't see the story connection, but I get a lot of people make it.
Well, you know, since, you know, Nightly News is very different, but, I mean, you've talked about you working in other styles. Do you have some projects in mind to follow up Nightly News that will, you know, show us some, you know, flexing some different muscles storytelling-wise? Or is this kind of a style that you see yourself kind of staying with for a while?
Well, I will continue to experiment heavily. I mean, I do not feel like – well, I feel like this. I am interjecting into comic art. I'm trying to. My attempt is to interject, you know, as much graphic design stuff as I can. But I feel like the stuff that I'm interjecting is stuff that is post-trendy. It's already been accepted into popular culture. It's not, you know, radical graphic design by any stretch of the imagination. It's really sedate. And I want to continue to push that, and I would have pushed it even more with the Nightly News, but, you know, at some point the book has to be commercially viable and it has to be acceptable, you know, and I was pushing it to a bunch of comic book people, not a bunch of graphic design people, so, you know, you have to be conscious of that. My hope is that as I, you know, get the trust of readers and I gain, you know, a following of some sort or whatnot.
A cult?
Yeah, exactly right. As my people follow me around, I hope that I'll be able to keep pushing it further and further. But, yeah, I know what my next two projects will be. I already know what the stories are. They're already plotted out a good little bit. So I've got my next year planned out pretty good. I'm hoping that stuff will be at Image. We'll see. I think that they're happy with me so far. I don't know. I could screw it up. Because I'm me, but you know, we'll see. But yeah, I'll continue to push it. I probably will not even. The art will change too. I mean, I'm not a big photo reference guy. I just thought it was appropriate for the story. So yes, I know what I'm doing, and I will kind of stay in this vein, but I'm going to push it much more.
Headline: Jonathan Hickman knows what he's doing. That'll be the title of the episode.
Any traveling to cons for you in the next year, promoting the book or any kind of other promotion of the book?
I don't know. I wasn't going to, but then everybody keeps telling me I'm stupid. You know? So, yeah, I think I'm going to go to New York.
Yay.
I think that's in February.
February 23rd through the 5th. We'll be there.
We will be there. Look us up. And,
okay, cool.
I will buy you at least one drink. At least.
Oh, all right.
At the minimum.
At the minimum.
You get it at the minimum, one drink.
Okay. We may even give you a T-shirt.
Well, I'm definitely going to New York. I've been told that I have to go to San Diego. Like, I don't get a conscious choice in it. But so apparently I'm going to be in San Diego. And then I will definitely be at Heroes Con in Charlotte because that's near where I live, and that was really fun last year, and that was like the first convention I've been to. You know, but other than that, I don't think so. I've got a shitload of work to do, you know, and I've been waiting for so long. I'm not really down with touring the country.
Well,
I'd rather
Tom,
work and actually make some comics since I've waited for
sure.
a while.
But Tom said that's something that
I'll be doing every year from now on, so.
Tom said that he'll let you crash at his pad if you come to Chicago.
When is Chicago? Is that after San Diego?
Yeah, it's about 2 weeks afterwards.
Okay.
I have a choice of air mattresses.
Right.
Well, okay. Jonathan, thanks so much for being on the show. We all really, really did like the Nightly News, and we're very excited to see what you've got coming up next, because I think you, you know, like I said before, for a first effort, it was very impressive, and I think you have a lot to say, and I think you're a heck of a talent. So thank you once again for being on the show, and, you know, good luck with the book, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, anytime, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, we want to thank Jonathan Hickman for a great chat about the Nightly News. Please check that out. It's new from Image Comics. Should still be in your comic shop, and if it's not, ask for it.
It's only $2.99, and it's worth every single penny.
It's dense.
It's a very, very good book. I thought it was great.
So looking forward to maybe meeting him in New York. And,
buying him a drink or two.
All three
getting
of
him drunk and
ranting.
To buy
him
one drink. Yeah.
Well, they're expensive in New York.
We don't make any money on this podcast.
All right, guys, got a few announcements here and a couple surprises. Sal, the hotline?
1-888-65-GCAST. Give us a call. Leave us a message. We'll play it on the show, just like this one.
We've got a couple more later in the show, but we're going to do something a little different today.
You set me up for that, you bastard.
But today...
Oh, this is the reverse? Oh, this is the reverse?
This is the reverse hotline.
Reverse flash hotline.
So let me...
Zoom line.
Are you calling the Hall of Justice?
Meanwhile. And John, by the way, John Suntress is in the house.
Yes, John Suntress.
Gee, there's something new. Yeah,
we're going to mix things up this week.
Yeah, wow. Pretty radical. Yeah. Good luck with that.
We meet every Thursday, and we say, what are we going to do this week that's different? And we list them, and we vote, and John
who are we calling? Is this a surprise guest?
It's a mystery guest.
Yes.
Mr. Pat Loika.
Oh!
Hey. You just got reverse hotline.
It's the reverse hotline.
Hey, how's it going?
What's happening, Pat?
Right now, nothing. We're at a show after party. Just relaxing.
Yeah, that doesn't show.
Barbecuing.
What? Who's after party?
We're
we went to this local artist, David Hopkins. He has this annual thing where everyone goes to after the show and just hang out and eat and drink.
For all the listeners out there, can you let them know what state you're in right now? What little event?
Inebriation, but an actual United States.
We're in Miserable, Texas. We are in, not exactly Dallas. We are in Arlington, Texas.
Arlington.
Home of the Rangers.
Did you have a chance to go by the Dark Tower booth down there?
They have a booth here?
Yes.
That's a no.
I guess that's a big negatory.
I will stop by tomorrow and say hi.
Yes, that's Matt, the owner of Dark Tower. They're down there, and I'm sure there'll be tons and tons of 50-cent and quarter books for you to rifle through.
Yes.
Okay, I might have seen them because I saw that booth with a block. Okay, yeah, 50-cent book. There's not that many of them.
If you're looking for 10 copies of Shadowhawk 2, number 1, they got them. You can get 10, 20.
Yeah. Tom has already gotten all the good ones out of the store. So,
if you want, I'll be sure to send you 10 copies of Shadowhawk 2, number 1, anyway.
Nice. Hey, Pat. You're sort of like a con expert. I mean,
he's
go
a
to
con icon.
You are a con icon.
Artist, if you will.
You are a con artist. How would you compare Wizard World Chicago or Wizard World Texas to the other Wizard Worlds or other cons that you've been to?
Texas is it's a bit smaller. It's not as big as Chicago. I mean, they have some great guests this year, but it's not. Last year was really good. For example, I can't really gauge how this year goes because there's an entirely new setup this year where they put Artist Alley inside the main hall instead of having its own room.
Oh, that's nice.
So we're still trying to figure it out, but there's some good stuff out there.
Who are some of the highlight guests there, or the folks in Artist Alley that are standouts in your opinion?
Ed Brubaker's here. Michael Lark's here. Steve Epting's here. Bill Sienkiewicz is in Artist Alley, but he did not show up today. There's quite a bit of Christian who did Supermarket is here.
Oh, great!
I remember everybody. Raven Gregory's here, Christian Baranek, Chris Moreno's here. Yeah, pretty much the usual guys, plus a few others. I've never, a bunch of locals. Buzz is also here. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How are things going for you and Path of Armageddon?
Path to Armageddon.
Path to Armageddon.
It's doing really good. This is the first. This is actually the first con we've done as part of our studios. There's like three of us here who are representing the group. I'm here with Mike Williams and Michael Woods. And we've been doing good, actually. We also have a guest in our booth. We have Sean Galloway, who did the animation, who did the character designs for the Hellboy animated movie.
Oh, cool. Sure.
He's sitting with us. Yeah, because he did a project with Mike Woods, and they're promoting that here.
How's the response been to Dial R Studios?
A lot of people remember us because of our because we started from Rolling, and people asked about it, and we just pretty much tell them what the deal is. And It's been really positive. There's a lot of people who are eager to see what we're up to, and we're working on doing different things with comics and promoting each other. It's been good. We our first collaboration is actually out. It's a web comic called The Hotel, which is about my time working in the hotel industry. It's available through our site and or through Silent Devil's website.
I've heard good stuff about that. Very twisted.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So what's it like not having your regular booth mate, Mr. Wachter, down there? Do you miss him?
Well, the booth people, there's a lot of guys I'm with are, people that I've worked with, at Ronin anyway that I like.
So you're saying that you don't miss Dave?
Oh, I miss Dave.
Oh, sure.
It's not the same without Dave. I get lonely and it's cold at night.
So, what's on the docket for tomorrow? It's Friday night now. Was there a Thursday night? Were you there Thursday night?
There was nothing for Thursday night, but we drove in Thursday night. After like 26 hours, we finally arrived.
How was that drive?
I drove in with Raven and Christian, and it was a hell of a drive.
Oh, I bet.
It was supposed to be like the projected time was like 19 hours. We got here in 26.
Yeah,
everything was slower in the south.
Hey, do me a favor, Pat. Another personal note. Well, this is sort of a show thing, but I'd really like to get Raven on to talk about Seven when he gets a chance. So tell him that we want to have Raven on and talk about Seven, because I really enjoyed that.
What kind of presents do they have over there?
I'll let him know. He's somewhere around here. Actually, he's kind of drunk already. So.
Oh,
big, big shock.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, Raven, Drac. Yeah.
Shocking.
We'll go, go find him.
No. Hey, Pat, what kind of setup does Xenophobic have down there? Because certainly there are a lot of interesting creators that are behind that Seven project. Not only Raven, obviously Christian and Adam as well, but
sure.
Baranek and David.
The Baranek brothers.
Yes, if you will. And David, who wrote City of Heroes after Wade left. And I can't remember his last name now. But anyway.
Anyway, I don't remember
good
either.
Guys. But no, do they? I mean, is there a big display for Seven and what they're doing?
No, they don't even. They pretty much Raven has a table at Artist Alley. The Zenoscope doesn't have a booth here now.
Okay.
It's kind of weird because the biggest booth in the show belongs to Top Cow.
Oh,
there's no Marvel booth or a DC booth here.
Wow.
What? Now you mentioned a bunch of Marvel creators. What DC creators are down there?
For
20 points, Pat.
I obviously cannot. I cannot recall.
Pat doesn't read DC.
I don't know.
Hey, so
people.
So you're working the whole show, but anything special planned for tomorrow or Sunday? Anything any creators you plan on taking a little time out to go get some sketches or autographs or anything from?
I actually brought Boo Baker stuff to get signed because I have not asked for an autograph in like years doing cons, so I'm actually going to geek out and go to Brubaker and have him sign my criminal books and my Captain America and Daredevil stuff.
Drop my name and he might
rip those comics up right in front of your face.
He's actually sitting at Steve Epting's spot earlier today and he was giving away copies of Criminal Number One.
He's working hard on that book.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, dude, it's amazing. I never got a chance to say hi to him, but a buddy of mine actually came up to him with a copy of Criminal to get signed, and he was like, oh, my God, you're the most awesome guy ever. You're the first guy to ever bring a copy to me.
Wow.
Pat, they started something last year at Wizard World Texas where, and I think it was on Saturday night, where they had a nice big art show that was kind of this cool little happening of a cross between, you know, a rave and an art, you know, and a live art show. And it sounded like a lot of fun. Are they doing it again?
They're doing another one this year. It's actually tomorrow night. It's being hosted, you know, it's Family Radio's 5th anniversary show thing. So I'm actually going to be attending that. I don't know if I'll be drawing again like I did last year, but we'll see.
Okay.
You're going to be covered in glitter and dancing, right?
Yeah, I really
it's
see that.
It's possible. You never know what you're getting yourself into. But most of the artists, I mean, last year they had Jim Mahu, David Mack, and all those guys involved. Like, this year they're mostly local artists.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, pretty much anyone can jump in and start drawing when they feel like it and just start painting.
Sure. Well, that's Michael Wark's hometown. He's a Dallas boy, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a local. He doesn't normally do wizard shows, I believe. And he's actually going to be at the Splash Page comic art booth where I guess they represent him and they have his original art for sale as well.
Sure.
Hey, Pat, I'm assuming you're going to New York next year. Am I correct in that assumption?
I'm not going to get my own booth or space. I'm just going to go there for fun.
Well, you can
harass you guys.
You can hang out in our booth.
Yeah, I'll definitely hang around.
Hang out? You can
I could be a go for you. You guys have to have the table.
No.
Run around for your drinks and stuff.
You're going to do sketches. You're going to do You can hang out in our booth and do your whole spiel. Come on, man.
Hey, Pat, it's Suntress.
You could be my
stunt double. Did you hear me? Yeah.
Well, that means I have to shave.
Or I'll grow a stash, man, and then I'll do the buzz cut.
All right.
Well, Mr. Loika, we're going to let you get back to your evening's enjoyment. Thank you so much for letting us check in with you. Have a great rest of your con.
Thank you guys for calling.
Hey, anytime, Pat, and we're looking forward to seeing you in February.
All right, we'll see you in February. Have a good night.
See you on the boards, Pat.
See you, buddy.
All right, see you there.
All right, bye-bye, buddy.
But Pat's a hell of a guy.
God, Christ. This Jesus. Is the fucking Party Line podcast.
Hello.
Everyone, this is Vince B. from the Bullpen Bulletins, and I figured since all three of us slummed over on his podcast
this week. Yeah, Vince, you know, I thought this was an exclusive podcast. You said, you know, you begged me to come on the Bullpen's Bulletin podcast, you know, to bring a bunch of listeners, to bring my charm and excitement to the show.
A bunch of listeners.
And you promised me that it would be an exclusive, that I wouldn't have to put up with Tom and Chris on the show. And what do I hear today? I hear both of these guys, you know, their insecurities. They come outside and doing my own thing. They had to be on the show. You
know? Well, we had to save the show somehow.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Well, I can't say no to Chris. You know, he called me up crying. How can we have Tom and Sal on? You know, have me. I had to play his little message.
I would have appreciated you editing out some of my stupidity, like I'm hoping that Dustin will do tonight with the show that we're recording.
You might not have a show.
Well, I think you did good.
We have to at least have 15 minutes of
content. Hey, Vince, we also have another guest that I don't think that you guys have ever actually talked in person. We got John Suntress here. Surprise, surprise.
John Suntress, I'm shocked.
Hi, Vince. It's a pleasure.
How are you?
Good, man. How's the world of the Bulls?
I haven't heard from you in a while.
I'm sorry that I haven't written. How's the podcast world going for you?
Oh, not too bad.
Yeah?
Doing okay.
Beautiful.
You know? Slowly but surely.
Oh, you're being way
you're
too modest.
You're a force to be reckoned with. What are you talking about? You're right there in the front line.
Yeah, we already hate you.
Exactly.
That's because I'm such a hit with the ladies.
Well,
yeah, I know. Yeah, blonde Michelle. We got to talk about that whole thing.
So, what have been some of the recent topics? Forgive me of Bullpen Bulletins. I mean, you know, do you like Civil War? Are you happy? Are you pissed? What's going on?
No, I love it. I think it's great.
Well, they're actually getting ready to change to the Image podcast. They're getting pretty disenfranchised with Marvel. Right, Vince?
I don't think so.
Hey, they're a good company. They're putting out a lot of good stuff.
I think they're going to change to the Landcast. All Greg Land, all the time.
Oh, yeah,
Landcast.
Right. Yeah, that'll happen. But honestly, we have to stop bringing them up because we're getting too much mail. You know, it's like, why are you picking on the guy? He's a real nice guy. He's
I defended him. I defended Greg. I think I did a pretty good job of defending him the other night. And you know, I think your accusations of his, you know, inferiority, well, his suckiness.
You guys didn't like the return of Huntress in the Serpent Squad in that Ultimate Power? Wasn't that, tell me, did you guys come to the same conclusion? Or was I just smoking too much weed when I was reading that?
Oh, boy.
Or both. Could be both. Could be neither.
This is broadcasting.
No. This is broadcasting.
What are you talking about?
What?
No, did you guys reach that same conclusion in that one splash page as well?
Yeah, it's horrible.
Well, that one figure looks like the Huntress, am I right, from Birds of Prey?
She doesn't have a waist. If that was a real person, her waist would be like a 12. She'd
well,
be dead.
That I don't mind. I'm the same way as Sal is. I like Greg Land. And I don't mind the occasional swipe, but when it is very blatant and it's like, wait a minute, I remember seeing that exact pose on that actress.
I can put up with a certain amount, but at some point, you know,
and it's okay to start, you know, as a beginning with that, but do your own thing.
Yeah, well, like I said
look
on
at
the
all the fucking publicity Greg Land gets. Every podcast has got a bitch about him. Right?
Well, my turn. Like I said on the Bullpen Bulletins podcast that you can find at www.bullpenbulletinspodcast.com.
That's nice.
You like that? what, it's frustrating because he can draw.
He's
he has
great
talent.
Artist.
He's a fantastic artist. It's just
I wouldn't go fantastic. He has talent.
I love
the guy's no Jack Kirby.
I was a huge Sojourner.
Vince says he's no Jack Kirby.
Oh, quiet down, Kirby boy.
I'm with you there, Vince.
And proud.
All right.
But, you know, we have to stop talking about him because it's starting to have adverse effect on us. And I was just talking about him because I'm being honest. You know, I don't like his stuff. But, you know, if people don't want to hear it, then I'll shut my mouth.
So, Mr. B, what do you like that is coming out from the House of Ideas these days?
What do I like?
Yeah.
Everything. He's a Marvel zombie.
Come on. Give us the highlights.
You know, like I said with Sal, I like the simple books. I like Amazing Spider-Girl. I think it's a lot of fun.
Yep.
I like that Avengers Next was really good.
Boom. Oh. Oh. Oh.
asked me what I liked. It was an
adjournment. Ambush Radio.
Hey, I got to say, Vince, I got my books this week, you know, because I'm a DCBS guy like you are.
Yeah.
And I got my books on Thursday, and I picked up the box, I cut it open, and I opened it up like it was Christmas, and I started going through the copies, and when I got to the Avengers Next, I was disappointed with myself for actually ordering that 2 months ago.
You're going through a rough time 2 months ago.
Is it DeFalco and Friends doing Avengers Next?
I opened that book, and it makes me feel like 1983 all over again.
Who's the team on that?
Sal says, that's the point. That's what I mean.
Fuck!
It's not a bad thing. I don't need...
It was the worst of the 80s. It was...
And you call me a tight ass.
Who's the creative team on that, Vince?
Quiz.
It's Ron Lim on pencil.
Okay.
You should be shot.
Who wrote it? Ah, jeez.
So where's DeFalco?
Off the top of my head, I don't know.
No, it is DeFalco.
It's DeFalco.
Okay. Well, yeah, there you go. If it's not Friends, then it's Ron Lim. So.
The book that I was really surprised about this week was Bullet Points.
Oh, was that not
good?
Yeah,
that was great. That really was great.
I have to say something.
Don't ruin it for me.
I loved Bullet Points, but the whole time that I read it, I kept thinking, why are they not doing an Invaders book?
Yeah,
in this style, why do we not see an Invaders book?
Well, I felt the same way when Lark and Brubaker did that one issue of
Captain America,
yeah, where they had that Invaders interlude.
I think we need to start a
petition. I think there's a Quesada. Quesada always says, because I kind of said that too. I'm like, instead of giving us the modern day Invaders, give us a 1940s.
1940s
and
Invaders.
I don't think he's interested. And actually, I'm surprised it's something like Bullet Points.
Its time has come.
I'm going to pull a Nightly News, and I'm going to have to assassinate Joe Quesada.
Hey, Vince, you know what Bullet Points reminds me of, and I think everyone is saying, is that this is what if stories should be. And as a Marvel guy, what ifs are some of my favorite staples of Marvel comics. Do you really want to see this turn into, you know, what ifs are?
Yes and no. I thought it was neat and it would make for a nice run, but I wouldn't want to see that applied to, say, every... I don't think there should be a template for the what-if stories. I think they should be wacky and against the grain and off the wall and all that stuff. That's the thing that makes the what-ifs work. They're unpredictable.
Well, what-ifs have always kind of been one-and-done stories. Can you see this as kind of, you know, maybe looking at 3 or 4 or even 6-issue arcs that what-ifs be? It's almost it could almost be like Marvel's Elseworlds.
We do have a Marvel Elseworlds. It's called Exiles.
Yeah.
True.
Well, I hear what you're saying, Chris. I guess if the story merits it, I have no problem with it, and I think this story is showing that it merits it.
Well,
I think the thing with what always happened with the what-ifs is that they just started having to pump out what-ifs, and they're
right,
like, what if the angel died? And it's
right.
Like, he did die.
Or what if...
we already saw that happen.
Or what if Matt Murdock had the hammer of Thor? You know, it's like, okay, yeah, you know, it's like, here's the 28th person to stumble on Thor's hammer. And no, I agree. So that's what I'd say. I think... I agree with you, Tom. If what you're saying is that, yeah, there were too many what ifs. It shouldn't be an ongoing
just
series.
Just do a what if there's a story worth telling.
Right.
Like
to be honest, these last 2 years, and I don't know what you think, Vince, but I've hated as many of the what if one shots of the last 2 years as I've liked.
Right.
You would agree?
They're hit and miss.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah. So, and you know,
what if Karen Page was the Hulk?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know.
Fuck? What? Who cared? Why does anyone want to? See that in the first place. It's like who sat around here.
All right. Well, hey, Vince, we kind of, you know, ribbed you and gave you a hard time, but you got to know it's out of love. Vince B. and David Price at Bullpen Bulletins, before they ever started that podcast, were two of our favorite people on the planet. And, Vince, we love you, buddy.
Yep.
All right, buddy. We will talk to you later.
We'll see you. Thanks.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I'm Ed Brubaker, and when I'm not killing Foggy Nelson, I like to accidentally delete off my desktop the Around Comics podcast.
All right, so guys, who else should we call?
John Byrne.
John Byrne? Okay.
Let's call
John Byrne.
Jeremy Hahn.
Oh, Jeremy Hahn? Let's call Jeremy Hahn.
That's a great idea.
Yes.
I love Jeremy.
John, thank you for...
You missed your line on the script, John, where you say, I know Jeremy Hahn's number.
Hello?
Jer.
Hey.
What's happening, man? It's...
I'm actually on my way to go see Borat.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Very
excellent,
nice.
The Around Comics guys wanted to call and say hey, so...
We wanted to drunk dial you.
We
Oh, that's wonderful. I wish I was as drunk as you guys are, but I have to drive to, you know, go see the movie. So.
You're responsible.
That's excellent, man. So who's going with you? Just you and the wife going to see Borat?
Just a couple of friends. Just making a small trip of it. Nobody too exciting.
Very cool. And, of course, everyone knows Jeremy Hahn is the fine artist on such great books as The Leading Man from Oni Press. And, of course, the upcoming in December, Iron Man, Captain America, Casualties of War. Did I say it right, Jeremy?
Absolutely.
Very cool. Christos Gage, you're writing that fine book?
Well, it was only a matter of time. I mean, Jeremy's a fantastic artist, and he's put out just a litany of just great books. And it was only a matter of time before he got scooped up by by one of the big two, and now he's sold out. And no, I'm just
now you're on the downhill slide, Jeremy. How's it feel?
Exactly. I'm living in sellout hell right now.
I bet.
And congratulations for that.
No, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah. How did it turn out, man?
How'd it turn out?
Yeah, how'd the book turn out? Are you pleased with the end result?
I think my end looks like ass, but everything else about it is wonderful.
Now that you've started doing some work for Marvel, I would really appreciate it if you could pitch an Invaders book. With you doing art and, you know, I don't
anyone
know.
Anyone writing.
Ed Brubaker, maybe Clay, maybe any, you know.
I think that would be awesome.
Battle Hymn is a modern sort of retelling of right. Invaders kind of a book, and I love that book. I met you a couple of years ago at Wizard World Chicago, and you were showing me pages from Battle Hymn, I think issue number 4 or 5, and that moment, I just I knew that you were the guy to do it. So get that done, will you?
Question. Yeah. But the only thing is, we've kind of told our World War II story, but, maybe we can work something out. I don't know. I'll beg and plead and get lots of no's, and it'll be wonderful.
Well, thanks for doing that for us. We appreciate it. Well, hey, other big news, and I think this is probably very old news for people that have kept up with it, but Leading Man, very, very popular and already optioned for a movie, so congratulations on that. Great series from Oni, and anyone that's not reading Leading Man, definitely check it out. It's a very fun book, Jeremy.
We got a trade. It's actually coming out in February, and we're going to put lots of extras in it and some fun stuff. We're pretty excited about doing it, so... But yeah, thanks, guys, and please do everybody check it out.
Yeah, it's a fun book, and one of the only color books, which it kind of shocked me whenever I saw it. It's like, Oni, everything I pick up of theirs is black and white, so it was kind of nice to see a color book from Oni, and the art, fantastic in it.
Mm-hmm. I think they're trying, really expanding, and they're having fun with doing some genre stuff, and they're just kind of reaching out and doing some fun stuff right now. I think that a color book was kind of a natural step for them. I think that, while they do so much great black and white stuff, I think that probably a color book, was a fun experiment. I think it's something that you'll probably see again from Oni.
Great.
Hey, Jer, are any of the Kansas City crowd down at Wizard World Texas this weekend?
Actually, no. I don't think, as far as I know, none of us are. I had planned on going, and then I was really concerned about making sure that I hit my deadline for my Marvel book. I didn't want to risk it in any way, and so I just went ahead and decided not to go, just in case I was running late on the book, and so I decided not to go. And then Clay was, he was. Decided that since I wasn't going to go, he wasn't going to go, and then it just, it was like a house of cards, basically. If I'm not going, nobody's going.
Wow.
How about Mid-OhioCon?
I would really like to go. I think Tony's going to that one.
Okay.
And, I love cons so much, that if there's any way that I can ever fit a couple in, I would love to go, so.
Well, you've kind of become a fixture in Chicago, and we love that here, so. Any other cons on the slate for 2007 that you're already booked for?
Mainly the two that I, well, actually, no, I am definitely going to Seattle. That's the I'm going to the Emerald City Con's gonna be on my list. So
New York,
Seattle.
You gonna be in New York?
I really wanted to, but they were out of space whenever I contacted them, so unless I just get a wild hair and decide to, kind of wander around up there, then yeah, I probably won't be hitting that one. Yeah,
one has
I really
then.
Wanted to. So what?
Hey, Jeremy, you know, just for people that may not be familiar or that familiar with your work, can you give us a little bit of history on you and how you got into comics and your relationship with Clay?
Oh, sure, absolutely, yeah. I started out doing a book called Paradigm with Matt Cashel. We did it originally as an independent black and white book, and then Image actually picked it up. We met Jim Valentino in Kansas City, and Image picked it up. We ran 12 issues on that, black and white. And then shortly after that finished, Clay and I were driving for the first time down to Wizard World, Texas. And he talked about this book that he had this idea for called Battleman. And I immediately was interested in it, and we hooked up and started working together that way. And kind of have been together ever since. It's like a marriage made in hell.
Are you tired of carrying this guy, Clay? I don't know what he's done, but you know, I know you've been carrying him for a couple of years now. Are you kind of sick of him, you know, just hanging on to those coattails, or?
You know, you have to do a lot of, you know, creative fixes for all the crap that he turns out. But, you know, it's okay.
Hey, is it too early to start talking about the studio plans for the Kansas City Boys, Jer?
Well, I can't really get too much into it right now because we haven't made the official announcement, but there is a studio planned. It's a, you know, basically a virtual studio with a group of us. It's going to include myself, D. Clay Moore, Tony Moore, no relation, Seth Peck, Jason Aaron, and the illustrious Jason Latour.
That's quite a collection of talent right there.
Yeah, it's definitely a madhouse, I believe.
Yeah, so you guys are going to be producing your own works and coming out?
Basically what it is, it's you know, we're all really good friends. We try to spend as much time together as possible. In a lot of ways, it's kind of like the Boulevard, the groups that Tommy Lee Edwards and Jean-Paul Leon and that group, you know, they will show that as a virtual studio and kind of use it as an excuse to have a booth, you know, share a booth space at cons. And we kind of felt the same way. You know, we really wanted to get in. Just kind of make a unified front for ourselves at conventions. We've talked about doing some anthologies together, you know, trying to put out, you know, maybe in about a year or so, try to get together and mix things up, you know. I've never worked with Jason Aaron, you know, so I would, you know, maybe Jason would write a story that I would draw for the anthology, and you know, maybe Tony and Clay would do something, and maybe, you know, Jason and Seth would, you know, just kind of mix it up and have a good time. But, and always these are the guys that, you know, I have a ton of respect for everybody that I'm working with within the group, and I think that if there is an opportunity for me to do a book with any of these guys, you know, they're going to be first on my list to always work with, just because, you know, kind of the shared vision, and you know, I can always tell them that they suck if it doesn't get too bad.
Well, we are constantly talking. I guess I am constantly talking about the talent that's centered around Kansas City, and it just seems like that is a natural and very easy progression for that group to take. And, you know, tons of questions like, you know, why Kansas City? And we've asked that before, but it really is an amazing group of creators that are down there. And it's exciting to hear that you guys are going to have, you know, kind of an organized front to that. And I think it's really something that, you know, maybe even years from now, people will look back and say, wow, that was an amazing group of creators at a time in Kansas City. So that has to be a really neat experience for you guys right now.
Oh, yeah, we're definitely all pretty excited about it. Kansas City's awesome, man. It's why Kansas City? Come on. It's cheap.
Good barbecue.
Yeah, and good barbecue, yeah. Right?
Good barbecue, good, you know, good history. So it's, you know, it's a fun place.
Well, yeah. Dude, I look forward to the Barat review. Over at
the
Image.
Yeah, I'll let you know. I'm really excited about it. We just got it here tonight, so I'm actually, I would have caught it last week, but you know, because it is Missouri, we're
you know, about, what, 30 years behind the rest of them.
Well, that's what, honestly, Jared, that's what I was going to say, that I know they cut down the initial release to 900 screens, and that was one of the complaints, that it wouldn't play in Kansas, and here it is, so I think that's
well, great. They're in Missouri, not Kansas.
Oh, that's right. Are you in Missouri?
That's Missouri.
You know, the Missouri-Kansas, you know, flip-flop side of things, you know, where I'm budding, like, what, three states here, so, you know, it's all.
Well, Jeremy, thank you so much for allowing us to drunk dial you. This is the first of many Around Comics drunk dials.
Yeah, we've got your number now.
Yeah,
so
now you're in trouble.
Don't worry, Jared, I'll burn it.
Yeah.
I'll eat it, Jared, don't worry, they won't have it.
I am always available to you, my friends.
We're very big fans of yours, and we really appreciate you coming on the show and talking with us. And we're going to have to have you come back on the show and talk to you a little bit
do,
more.
Do a proper interview.
Yeah, interview, and good luck with everything you're working on, and we hope to see as much as we possibly can from you.
Wonderful, guys. Okay, I appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Jeremy. We'll talk to you soon, buddy. Enjoy the movie.
Okay, take it easy.
Bye-bye. All
right. Bye-bye. Hi, I'm Paul Jenkins, and Sal's British accent sucks the dead shit out of a Dead Seagull's arsehole.
All right, thank you to Jeremy Hahn. It was a pleasure talking to him, and once again, please call the hotline, or we'll enact the reverse hotline again.
We'll call you.
And we may call you. All right.
You will get to feel the discomfort that
comes
with
it. I'm just going to Borat. What the hell you want?
leave me alone, will you? Good God.
All right, back to the announcements.
So what cities are you going to this year?
Sal.
Who tells where you'll be staying?
Shop at Around Comics.
Shop at Around Comics. We have an Amazon store. We also have a Cafe Press store where you can buy Around Comics t-shirts, mugs, magnets.
Thongs.
Pretty much anything you want. If you want something with Around Comics. And I want to say thank you I can't think of her name, but a woman in
Australia.
Australia bought us.
We're
bought
huge
a t-shirt
in
recently.
Australia.
Thank you very much. I hope you enjoy the t-shirt. It's a very nice quality, and, you know, we appreciate it very much.
All right. Frapper, we do love the
Frapper. Oh, we do have Frapper. We have a lot of Frapper.
Let's switch off here. Go.
Terry Palott, Ontario, Canada.
That sounded very Harry Carey-ish. Terry Palott.
Hello.
Enjoying the podcast.
Hi.
The next one is Jason Schulte from Reedsburg, Wisconsin.
Hello, Jason.
George Schulte's nephew. I'm not on the page, so I don't know what
maybe,
you
G Dog and Grand Rapids, Michigan.
What is G Dog?
Listening to your show, I get a burning sensation when I pee. Well, that would be the chlamydia that you get from listening to us.
Ryan, a.k.a. Repugnus from Portland, Oregon.
Yay, Repugnus.
Greetings from Sasquatch County. Your podcast has quickly become one of my favorites. Keep up the good work.
We'll see.
we'll do our best. Justin from Coweta, Oklahoma. Now you guys have someone from Oklahoma on your Frapper map.
Which I'm glad of, because there was a huge... We weren't playing well to the middle of the country from our Frapper map.
Yeah, we were East Coast, West Coast. Yeah.
Joel in Omaha, Nebraska says, I'm not sure if I like your show or hate it yet. Well, I think this episode
what?
Really decided that.
It's kind of a backhanded comment.
Yeah. Okay, I'm still listening to it either way. Keep up the good work.
No, I was hoping you'd do it like Anchorman with the keep up the good.
Keep up the good.
Now we have.
Well, Joel, wait. Joel, if you hate our show, tell us. Tell us why you hate it. What do you don't? What
do you don't like?
Show?
We need some criticism.
What don't you like about our show, huh?
Next is Derek from Winthrop.
Maine.
You have
Maine
no idea.
Maine is M-E?
Yep.
You are the worst state abbreviation.
Okay, so Derek from state, who I didn't know your abbreviation.
Winthrop, Maine.
Jim Neal from the U of K. Of K. love the show. Keep up the excellent work, guys.
Ryan Niven from Sunderland, England, UK. Check out my friend's
site. Not the accent again.
Check out my friend's site, www.paulchinkins.co.uk. He's working with Brian Talbot of 2000 AD Frame.
I'm a big fan of Brian Talbot.
Fame.
Work, Brian.
Ryan, I'm sorry about that.
That wasn't that bad.
That was god-awful fucking
Bob
horrible.
Bob Hunter from Torrance, California. You're spared the discomfort of us commenting on you.
Paul Rooney from Edinburgh, Scotland.
Grim from Reno, Nevada. Hopefully not your only listener in Reno. Love the show. It's the only podcast about comics that keeps my interest. Tom is a nut job.
Yes,
wacky.
Yes,
he is.
You're big in Reno, man.
I'm huge in Reno.
So challenge. In the world. Anybody else in Reno, post on the Frapper so Grim knows that he is not alone. So thank you to the Frapper folks. We really enjoy this every week. So if you're not signed on to the Frapper, please.
It's Frapper.com. RAPPR.com/aroundcomics.
All right. Spread the Around Comics love.
The Listener LCS Challenge. There's a new flyer up, and I've updated it with the LCSs that have joined the LCS Challenge. Thank you all, including
Chaz Moore for getting J.R. Dean's to display our flyer at Nova Comics at 6324 Springfield Plaza in Springfield, Virginia.
BuyMeToys.com, 6327 University Commons, South Bend, Indiana. Thank you, Kelly. And California Cards and Comics in Elk Grove, California. Thank you, California. Hello, California.
Oh, good Lord. All right, after you help us out with the Listener LCS Challenge, you can then go to Podcast Alley, drop us a vote there, and drop a vote for Word Balloon.
Yeah, what
absolutely.
The
finest interview podcast available anywhere
on
this
planet. And I appreciate that. So.
And then, my favorite, you can go to the iTunes Music Store and leave us a review. Please be as cool as Andy Parks and leave us a review. It'd be great. I've got like 64 reviews, some great stuff. So we really appreciate that.
We have more than that because as we've been it's been pointed out to us by international listeners that there are various international iTunes that have their own reviews.
We have like 5 in Australia.
We're huge in Australia. We're gigantic. We are the number one podcast in Australia.
And Tom, we have a bunch of female listeners in Canada that you've told me about.
Yeah, we have a bunch of Canadians. I can't repeat that joke from last week.
Don't.
Yeah, let's not try and capture the magic of last week and move it to this week.
Thank you, Marshall Brodeen.
Yeah, let's just try and roll with what
we got. Right, guys. Well, I tell you what. Let's pull this train wreck over to the side. Let's move over to the news desk. It's time for Wire to Wire Comic News.
Need the engine running. Dun, 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 dun.
Wire to Wire Comic News is sponsored by
Athena Voltaire, the collected webcomics coming in December from Ape Entertainment. What mysteries lurk in a monastery hidden in the Himalayas, and who or what protects those secrets? And why is the daughter of Dracula after Athena Voltaire? This 96-page trade paperback collects the entire run of the Eisner Award-nominated online adventures for the first time ever in print, as well as sketches, pinups, and more. Planetary Authority co-creator Warren Ellis describes the pulp-inspired series as, if The Mummy and Van Helsing were actually, good. Athena Voltaire, the collected webcomics, is available from Diamond Distributors and can be ordered with the following code, OCT-063-122. All 4 issues of the first Athena Voltaire miniseries, Flight of the Falcon, can also be ordered through Diamond. Athena Voltaire, high adventure, takes flight this December.
These are your top headlines for the week of November 6, 2006. Yes, you will like him when he's angry. Marvel Studios and Universal Pictures will unleash Marvel's renowned, larger-than-life green superhero onto moviegoers everywhere in the summer of 2008 as they have announced a June 27th release date for the action-packed new big-screen adaptation of The Incredible Hulk. Directed by top rising star Luis Leiter of The Transporter 2 Unleashed, The Incredible Hulk will return to the roots of the long-running comic book series, combining a well-developed storyline with the incredible action and fun that the Hulk is renowned for. Zach Penn, who previously collaborated with Marvel on X2 and this summer's smash hit X-Men: The Last Stand, is writing the script. The Incredible Hulk is being independently produced by Marvel Studios through its $525 million non-resource film finance facility and will distribute domestically and in several international territories through Universal Pictures. Last September, Viper Comics announced they were in search of a new webcomic to join You'll Have That and Horrible Pirates on the publisher's website. After an overwhelming response, Viper has decided that not one, but five new webcomics are to be added to the site's roster. The quality of the submissions really surprised us, says Viper president Jesse Garza. We chose five, but we really could have easily have picked more. The five new additions are Bob the Squirrel, Brinkeroff, Ugly Hill, Small Wonder, and Muffin Time. The strips will be live at www.vipercomics.com within the next 6 to 8 weeks. Viper Comics would like to welcome the new creators to the Viper family and thank everyone who submitted for making their decision a difficult one. Viz Media, one of the entertainment industry's most innovative and comprehensive publishing, animation, and licensing companies, has announced the long-awaited conclusion to the Ranma One-Half manga series. The final edition, Volume 36, will hit store shelves nationwide on November 14th and will retail for $9.99. Ranma Half has been one of the longest-running Viz Media manga series and is also one of the best-loved by fans, says Eliza Coppola, Senior Vice President of Marketing for Viz Media. We are excited to publish the concluding volume to this critically acclaimed title. Fans will delight in the culmination of this wild adventure, which has been in print for more than 14 years. The final volume of Ranma One-Half will be celebrated with a farewell letter to North American fans from series creator Rumiko Takahashi. Top Cow Productions is proud to announce the long-awaited release date of their compendium line of trade paperback collections. The new line of compendium editions from Top Cow will be a great value for old and new readers alike who want to delve into the Top Cow universe. Each compendium contains 50 full-length issues of content in full color and is priced at an economical $59.99. Even at cover price, this material would normally cost fans over $150. The first release in the line will be the Witchblade Volume 1 compendium, which is expected in stores on November 15th. The collection will collect Witchblade issues 1 through 50 in order and chronicles the origins and evolution of Sarah Pazzini, the bearer of the mystical Witchblade. Witchblade Volume 1 Compendium will be quickly followed by the release of the Darkness Volume 1 Compendium and Tomb Raider Volume 1 Compendium. Both are expected in stores on November 22nd. Get ready for Stan Lee, Joe Quesada, One Stage, and You, along with some surprise guests in Los Angeles for an evening of conversation, debate, chat, discourse, and chewing the pop culture fat about the history and future of Marvel Comics. First announced at San Diego Comic-Con, tickets for Marvel Then and Now, an evening with Stan Lee and Joe Quesada, scheduled for 7 p.m. at UCLA's Ackerman Grand Ballroom, are now on sale at the UCLA box office and all Los Angeles area Ticketmaster outlets. You can also buy them online at Ticketmaster.com. Ticket prices are $18 for UCLA students and $20 for non-students, with all proceeds going to benefit the HERO Initiative, a federally chartered not-for-profit organization that provides financial assistance for comic creators in need. Exhibitor applications and guidelines for the Museum of Comic and Cartoon Arts 2007 MoCA Art Festival are now available for download on the museum's website at www.moccany.org. The 2007 MoCA Arts Festival will take place the weekend of June 23rd and 24th at the historic Puck Building in downtown Manhattan's famed Soho Arts District. The festival will be open to the public from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. both days. Admission starts at $8 a day or $10 per weekend, but is only $5 for a weekend pass for MoCA members. the Mocha Art Festival, held each June since 2002, annually brings together cartoon and comics artists, writers, publishers, collectors, and more by the thousands, from the most hardcore enthusiasts to the merely curious, to see and peruse an incredibly wide range of contemporary comic and cartoon artworks. The festival also presents a full two-day slate of interesting and innovative lecture discussion panels featuring artists, publishers, scholars, and other experts. On January 23rd, Marvel Studios and Lionsgate will release The Invincible Iron Man on DVD. The Invincible Iron Man is the third film in the extremely successful Marvel Animated Features direct-to-DVD series. The first two films in the series, The Ultimate Avengers, the movie, and The Ultimate Avengers 2, Rise of the Panther, have sold a combined total of over 1.5 million units. The success of the Marvel Animated Features, which can follow comic book storylines much more closely and include more realistic action and violence than animated TV series destined for children's viewing blocks, has already spawned a similar effort from DC Comics. The Invincible Iron Man is an origin story that follows billionaire industrialist Tony Stark as he uncovers a buried city in China and accidentally awakens a powerful evil force that only his armored alter ego, Iron Man, can defeat. The Invincible Iron Man DVD will retail for $19.98 and features a number of extra features including Origin of Iron Man and the Hall of Iron Man armor featurettes, plus an alternate opening and a preview of the next Marvel animated feature, Doctor Strange. According to NorthAntsNews.com, writer Alan Moore is to be featured in a forthcoming episode of The Simpsons. Moore, aged 53, recorded his lines at the Lodge Studios in Abington Square last month for an episode which will be called Husbands and Knives. The Simpsons production team are longtime fans of Moore's. His feature is a subplot which sees a new cool comic shop opening in Springfield in competition with the Android's Dungeon, run by Comic Book Guy, who is voiced by Hank Azaria. The new shop has persuaded Moore to make a public appearance. In reality, Mr. Moore rarely makes public appearances, preferring to concentrate on his prolific output of work. This has earned him a reputation in America as a recluse, although in Northampton, he has a wide network of longtime friends and family. All right, those are your top headlines for the week. Coming right from the top, looks like Marvel is interested in a Hulk redo at the movie screens. So the Incredible Hulk movie, you guys?
Well, is this going to be a continuation of the story? Or
I think
no?
It's just start over.
Really? Do over?
Yeah.
No kidding.
And Mulligan.
Do over.
As much as Dave Wachter likes
I
to...
I think this one, too.
I agree with Peter David, who said it's a great middle. It's a weird beginning. It's a weird ending, but it's a great middle.
Yeah.
I can agree with that.
And those shots of the Hulk fighting the army in the desert, that was
fantastic.
I think that movie got a lot of really harsh criticism that... I can see where they're coming from, but I don't think it's an awful Hulk. It didn't ruin the Hulk movie franchise. No.
Well,
you know?
I think what's interesting is that
it's no Val Kilmer as Batman.
No. Yeah. Well, what I think is interesting about that movie is that some fans hate it, some fans absolutely love it. So it does have a lot of credit.
I didn't hate it, but my biggest complaint about that film was Eric Bana. I think he's a horrible actor. I think he's so.
Here's the thing, deadpan, uninteresting. With playing Bruce Banner, though, you need to get a really good actor to play it because you're basically asking someone to act whenever they're on screen. There's someone who is holding back everything.
Right, repressed.
He can never show anger. He can never show because
exactly.
As soon as he shows that,
he becomes the Hulk.
He becomes the Hulk, sure. And that's really the tough part about getting an actor to play the Hulk.
You can do that without having to project it.
No,
and that's what he did. He projected his tension, his angst. He projected it so much that it was laughing.
I'm not saying Banner did a good job. I said it's a difficult role for an actor to do. You know.
Yeah. Well, I just want to see a Hulk movie where the Hulk is throwing cars through skyscrapers and You know, Hulk Smash is what Hulk does, and I hope that they bring that. You know, we can look at the inner heart of man.
And they make a Planet Hulk movie.
Did they announce a director? Yes, Louis Leitmer.
Yes, from Transporter 2.
See, I don't think, that doesn't make me, you know,
that's not exciting.
Look at the pedigree of Ang Lee, regardless of how you felt about
it. The Ice Storm was an amazing
director. This guy is, I did Transporter 2.
Yeah.
I did Cannonball 2.
Yeah, but didn't we say the same thing about the guy?
Tim Story?
He did that. No. Who did,
give me the movie.
That movie with Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker?
Rush Hour 2?
Yeah, but even Rush Hour 2.
It was fucking awful, but...
Oh, I didn't think it was awful. I didn't think it was great, but I thought it was more of the same.
But then what did he direct in the... X-Men 3.
Oh, Brett Ratner.
Ratner, he did Rush Hour 2, which was fucking horrible.
Yeah, but he also did Red Dragon as well. Brett Ratner had a little more cred than
this
guy.
Ang Lee is a great filmmaker, but...
Well, he was just wrong for the project.
Yeah. Ang Lee is an amazing cinematographer that somebody told to direct films.
But here's the thing.
Ice Storm is great.
Here's the crazy thing. My girlfriend loves the Hulk movie. She doesn't know anything about comics or anything.
I think you'd find a lot of...
But she loves you, Tom.
But a lot
so
of
what does that say?
A lot of nonsense.
I don't know. She's a fucking masochist.
All right. Okay. Because we got a lot to go over. Moving on, Viper Comics had put out a little promotion to bring a new webcomic to their site.
But, you know what they did?
What did they do, Tom?
They said, "I'm going to bring you one," and you're like, "Oh, you show up with enough room in your bag to get one," and then they fucking throw five at you.
Damn!
Yeah.
Snap.
So good for Viper Comics.
Snap.
If you are a fan of webcomics, check out their new slate of webcomics at vipercomics.com.
They make a lot of good books.
And I urge people who maybe have some sort of bias against webcomics to really start looking at it, because the more and more I see that's the direction that comics are going to go eventually.
When we go to the paperless society.
And just give it a shot. I know a lot of people say,
it's not going to happen.
There's a lot of neat stuff going on.
There's a lot of people that will be like, I will never read a webcomic.
I mean, it's
like, give it a shot, and here's your chance. Go check it out. You'll find...
There's some very good webcomics out
there. Well, it's no different than the comic rack. I think you find every kind of style represented in webcomics. Very realistic, very superhero, very Bigfoot funny. You name it.
Just
real slice of life, you name it.
Don't just dismiss it because it's... Not on
web. Because it's web, yeah.
Okay.
Good point.
Next, the final and 36th volume of Ranma One-Half is going to be released from Viz Media. So
I'm shedding a tear.
Applause.
As everyone knows, I've done the manga challenge with Stephanie Mangold.
How's that going?
He's read like three pages.
I've read two volumes of what she sent me.
Okay.
What she has...
Has sent me.
Sorry. And I have to say I am not a manga fan. I really honestly went into it.
Maybe we'll have the
heartfelt. I'm just too much of a... I'm too wrapped up in good writing. And not that manga doesn't have good writing, but the problem is that manga is... Most of it is translated.
Sure.
And it loses so much.
You're a dialogue junkie, just like me.
I am. Plot, dialogue, I have to have that in a comic if I'm going to accept it as something good. And manga is just, I don't know what people see in it. I don't get it. Is it just because it's, you know, hip and new and... I don't know. You people.
There's throngs of 14-year-old girls that would disagree with you in a heartbeat.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I'll say one thing about manga is that if you, I would not let my daughter. I have a 4-year-old daughter. I would not let her read manga
until she's of age or period.
Period. I would keep her away from manga
forever.
Because it projects women as like
subjugated.
Well. The only way that women can get ahead in manga culture is if they are...
Stephanie Mangold, you can send your emails directly.
It's like, you talk about like male fantasies in comics. Manga is female fantasies. It's women controlling men by their sexual... By sexuality.
Wow.
I mean, that's what I've gotten from the Mangold
channel. Can you give me a couple titles?
Sexy Voice and Robo. I mean, this is about a girl who is a sex surrogate, okay, to some degree over the phone. I mean, she's
she's a call-in lady.
Yeah, and she gets off on by manipulating men because she pretends she's not 14 years old.
Did Stephanie recommend Battle Royale to you? No. I'd like to recommend Battle Royale to you.
Yeah,
that's a great hard-boiled crime.
Well, that
story
I might like, but she recommended me stuff that was like of, girls.
And also Giffen, by the way, did the translation. So there's a guy.
Keith Giffen?
Yes. There's a guy who can write.
He did the Battle Royale.
And also Max Collins did, and I don't know if that qualifies.
Well, Max Collins is doing manga translations?
Well, that Batman City of Dreams, I don't know if Kia Asamiya is, and I don't mean to rhyme, Kia. But I don't know if that qualifies as manga. It's not, Asamiya did X-Men for a while as well.
Yeah,
it's got a very Japanese
style.
Max did the English translation of the story, and I think it's
excellent. I read Battle Royale, and I actually really enjoyed it.
Me too.
It was...
And I agree with you, Sal. I mean, 9 out of 10 manga books, I'm not interested. Most manga books, I'm not interested. Every now and then, I find the one wild hair that I'm...
Yeah, well, I think it's cool. Also because there's a ton of different titles out there, and
also
who buys manga in America is 14-year-olds, so you're going to get stuff
marketed. And we get a lot of the
crappy
marketed
manga.
That's
we do.
Colleen Doran said that to me as well, that like we really don't get access to the good manga.
You know who we need to get on the phone and talk about? We need to get Kelly Sue DeConnick on and talk about manga.
You hear? That's a challenge. We're coming for you, Kelly Sue.
What's her background?
That's Matt Fraction's wife.
Oh,
and
of course.
She does.
Which is a challenge.
Does she
enough
translate manga?
She does. Yeah, she does.
That's
she's a writer. And
I would also say talk to Colleen as well, because she's a real lover of real.
To me,
you know, Crying Freedom or Freeman. That's another
Cry
great.
Freeman.
Yeah, Cry Freeman.
Well,
Cry
let's.
Freeman. So
let's save it for the Kelly Sue.
Absolutely.
The
okay, moving on to some real comics. Like Witchblade.
Fucking Witchblade.
All right.
Fucking dork.
Top Cow's coming out with their compendium edition, so if you want to find out
how,
if you want to be like a complete nerd like Chris and just a slave.
Hey, the
to
first
the
50 issues of Witchblade, good stuff. Good stuff.
Whatever.
I'm standing by it.
But you bought 50 issues of stuff that you've just admitted wasn't good. Think about that.
I can't support your obsession with Witchblade. It's just it deteriorates our credibility in such a way that I almost think that any more mention of Witchblade on this show and we're going to be forced.
It does help credibility, I think, in a way, because it admits the fact that we are fucking suckers for the same shit that everyone else fell for all the time. We fell for the same fucking... I got hologram
did
covers
like
in
the
box
series
somewhere.
I did like the TV series. All right. It was entertaining.
It was fine until the chick couldn't, show up on set.
She was a little drunk.
A little bit.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I like that my women.
I respect that.
Mm-hmm. Any drunk broads out there?
No, I honestly, I wanted her to be Jessica Jones, quite frankly.
Yeah, I think,
well, let's go on to something else.
So anyway, compendiums for Witchblade, Darkness, and Tomb Raider are coming out. So,
a deal.
Take a look for those. hey, what's it looks like Stan and Joe Quesada,
that's right,
to use Sal's bad New York accent, are going to be talking at the UCLA, looks like some
Grand Ballroom.
I'm going to see Stan's... Joe Quesada doesn't know shit about.
Kevin Smith has joined the program, boys, and is going to
is
be the
really?
James Lipton of that little symposium, and will be firing the questions to Joe and Stan.
That'll be interesting.
So yeah, it really does sound like a cool
do
event.
Do the people in L.A. understand how cool that?
Oh, they,
that,
yeah. There's Golden Apple, man. What are you talking about? There's tons of cool comic book fans in L.A.
That we want to hear from the L.A. fans that are getting tickets for that.
Did you guys ever see the? It was released on
Kevin Smith and
Stan Lee? Kevin. No.
Oh.
It was just Kevin Smith at
an evening
Cornell.
With Kevin.
Yeah.
The 4-hour DVD
so good.
Of all the
so
stories.
Good.
It was so fun.
Oh, it's hilarious.
So good.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as
it's performance
people want to bitch
it's
about
good monologues. I mean,
it is. The man can certainly work a crowd.
Yeah.
And he's entertaining to listen to.
Absolutely. And he's a comic fan, so he is the perfect guy to host this.
I just
this
wish he could
forum.
Fucking get a book in on time once in a while.
He and I don't know if NPR still has it in their archives, but he did an amazing amazing
interview with Frank Miller and Rodriguez.
Exactly.
Oh, it's exactly. Saved it's on. Do you need it? I've got it on my computer.
No, I'm a nerd.
So good.
I'm a nerd.
I've got it, and it's excellent. No, he's, you know, Kevin's great. And actually, I guess he's doing a show for the MTV College Channel that just started recently, and it's there's a lot of comic book news in there and stuff. It's a video show.
The only thing about Kevin Smith that if I ever run into the man one day,
yeah,
which could happen someday.
I saw him the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I just want to go up to him and go, you know what,
sir?
Don't let
good sir.
No, he's
good
fucking
sir.
Younger
that's
than
his,
me.
That's
I think.
His thing. He calls everybody good
anyway,
sir. Yes, good sir.
I want to say, don't let the reaction to a film like Jersey Girl persuade you to not expand.
Yeah,
because that's I think you know. He's gone to, you know, he tried to really try to do something different.
I think
he tried to do something mainstream.
Yeah.
People have an expectation
of what he didn't get a great reaction from it.
Yeah.
And then he went right back to Silent Bob.
To Dick jokes and
yeah,
jokes.
You know what I mean?
And
it's like,
jokes.
I watched Jersey Girl the first time, didn't really appreciate it, and then I watched it another time and
a second time.
A second time.
Of a
second watching.
And it's a pretty decent film, so. I don't know.
You cheese first, stands guys. Alone. I'm sorry. I'll say it. I think it's a 2-star movie. I think it has its moments. I think he has some interesting performances.
I think it's like Ben Affleck's finest work.
You know what Ben Affleck might go to though?
Talk
what?
To me.
The exhibitor thing at MoCA. That was my point. I don't do segues.
That was a good transition.
Thank you.
Here's the segue. MoCA is taking applications right now, and MoCA is a.
MoCA's doing it.
All right, hold on.
It's the Museum of Contemporary Art.
Regroup.
I'm the sober one. I don't.
I know.
The show doesn't fucking work like this.
We'll do the movie review show.
John and I'll do the rest of the show.
We'll pick apart Jersey. Like,
John, you want?
Tommy, let's talk. Shall
John,
we?
John, I bought some Superman families.
Oh, thank God! Exactly.
Can
you give me the latest story of Mr. and Mrs. Superman? By Paul Kupperberg.
Give me a countdown.
All right.
Why are you drunk?
Did you really buy some Superman? You did. Let me see. I'll tell you if I've had it or not. If I bought it back in the day.
Like
I guarantee you I did. All right, this one I did not.
Dude, I'm
but I used to love that.
Buy you a bottle of bourbon next week.
This one
no
I
more
did.
Bourbon.
No more fucking
no more fucking bourbon.
Sorry. I didn't have this.
Jesus.
I didn't have this.
I
had this.
It was a fucking disaster.
We got it off eBay for $2.
All right, we're ready?
All right, give me a countdown.
All
right, hey, we're going to do it.
I'm going
to go back to the symposium, right. All right?
I'm going to do it.
3, 2, 1.
Hey, guys, you know that MoCA is currently...
No. Give me a lead-in.
Stan and Joe?
Yeah, I'm going to go back to Stan.
All right.
Well, fuck me.
There goes your whole Jersey Girl rant.
Yeah. Cut it out.
We're going all the way back to Stan?
Yeah.
Jesus
yeah, we need to cut all that crap out.
I'll tell you something else about Jersey Girl. I love this song with la la la.
Let me tell you something.
That's what I love when he gives his big speech to the water department about why they have to like you know interrupt the traffic on Second Avenue. That's like pure fucking drama. Bullshit.
Bullshit.
Bullshit. I love that guy. Bullshit.
Dustin, give me a countdown.
5, 3, 2, 1.
Oh, seriously, though, going to a symposium with Stanley, Quesada, and Smith, how cool is that going to be? Just to sit down and listen to Stan talk. And, you know, I am so jealous of the Southern California comic fans that, you know, what is it, $20 to go there and be able to – that is –
Plus, there's an after party and stuff. I mean, they've got a lot of events
if
that
Marvel,
as you contribute to the Hero Initiative, there's more that you can.
Oh, and that, you know, it's all for charity. But if Marvel doesn't release that as a podcast, I'm going to be so freaked out.
Oh, I would
so
count on
the
Hero
out.
Initiative DVD. That's my guess. And that's just a guess. I don't have any hard interview.
Would they put horrible music in the background?
Probably.
I'd like a house of ideas.
Yeah.
Jim McCann kind of like, you know, takes the pills to make him sound like this. How you doing? We're talking to Mike Carey. Writer of Ultimate X-Men.
We love you, Jim.
We do love you, Jim.
But that's going to be so fun to see that collection of guys on stage, sure, to just talk about comics and whatever whatever comes up. Moving on, Mocha is taking applications to exhibit there. Mocha, a great independent exhibit and convention in New York. Want to throw a big shout out to one of our brother podcasters out there. That's Charlito and Phil at Indie Spinner Rack. They were the official podcast at Mocha last year.
Oh yeah, those were great.
Oh,
they really were.
Did they do an amazing job of covering that?
I bet they did.
That is, I mean, you want to talk about a show that is in their wheelhouse?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's Charlie and Phil do an amazing job.
The only problem I see is that the applications will be processed if it's postmarked by 11:59 on November 1st. So. You guys missed it. If this is the only way you found out about it.
No. You can still submit your applications there. So Mocha is yes, you can still still say
hey,
it.
Hey, listen,
No, Tom, you're cool misreading the press release. It's applications that are submitted before November 1st will be filed as if they were submitted on November 1st.
We're just gonna. And keep rolling. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I understand what he's saying because I'm reading the thing now and stuff. So, yeah, they're having another round of applications.
You can still apply.
Yeah, it's okay.
So, Mocha.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Hey, did you guys know that on January 23rd, Marvel Studios and Liongate will release The Invincible Iron Man on DVD?
I'm very curious. Did you guys see the second Avengers?
I didn't
Ultimate?
Like it.
It was all right.
I hope that this will be better, and I know that as they get more control over their movie properties, I'm certainly hoping that they'll improve. And I do think it's kind of interesting that they are doing this animated Iron Man so close before the Favreau Iron Man film comes out.
It's going to be their ultimate version of Iron Man, the one that's spinning out of the Ultimate Avengers. What I'm feeling is that with that series, that they're trying to walk too tight of a line between kid-friendly and adult
action.
And the mix of it is just not working.
It comes off, and forgive me, G.I. Joe fans, but it comes off more animated G.I. Joe than it does animated Justice League, which I think we'll all agree with. The Batman ones are probably the best superhero cartoons out there.
I just bought Justice League Unlimited, the first season.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic. Loving it.
But the problem is you're talking about the Ultimate line, and the Ultimate line is produced as a adult, you know,
version of the 616 universe.
Okay. So then you're trying to take that and
they're trying to take that same branding.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Where the Batman Unlimited, I mean that's produced initially as a kid friendly show.
Yes,
as opposed to a adult show or adult comic.
This
reduced down to
this is my point. I would rather see a very well produced kid friendly animated series than a faux adult oriented. Yeah,
that's what happened.
But I mean, I think their confusion is that if you're going in and you're like, I buy the Ultimates, I buy that brand of Marvel Comics, and then you see a DVD that says Ultimate Avengers, you're saying Ultimate, this is the same branding, this is the same presentation, and you pop that in, and it isn't. It's not the same.
It's the Ultimates decaf.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Defanged. I completely agree with that.
And, you know, I would rather see a kid-friendly version like Justice League Unlimited or the Batman animated series, which is the best animated comic book version ever.
Completely agree.
Marvel did.
Just make a good Avengers anime movie. It doesn't have to be.
Exactly.
Just,
exactly.
Yeah.
And
why
so,
put that on there?
So I hope with Iron Man that they correct that.
The Hellboy animated.
Yeah, it did.
Absolutely, and it turned out very well.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
You know, this sort of thing is...
Yeah, I had Mignola on, and we talked about it, and I know Tad Stones was making the rounds as well about the film, and I know a second film is coming out in February.
Yeah.
It was really good.
It was excellent. It was on Cartoon Network on Halloween, or the weekend of Halloween, the weekend before.
What was really interesting about your interview with Mignola, which was fantastic, but way too short. I wanted to hear another 2 or 3 hours, John.
He's awesome. He's a great guy, and you know they're just starting off production with the second Hellboy movie.
Mm-hmm. What was great is that he talked about the amazing screw-on head, and that he only watched like a couple minutes of it, and he had to like turn away and not watch it because it was hard for him to watch his creation. Amazing Screw-On Head. I loved the animated version of that.
I thought it turned out well, too. I understand where he's coming from.
Oh, sure.
And I guess he certainly had more involvement. The difference, I think, was he didn't have involvement with the Screw-On Head, the Sci-Fi Channel cartoon.
You know, and Tad Stone had talked about that, too, is that Mignola just has a problem seeing anyone else trying to adapt his work because it's so ingrained in his psyche that it's hard to see someone else trying to copy it. Because it's never going to come out what you think it is.
I think the good news is he partners up with guys that he does trust, and luckily, much like Del Toro did a great job on the feature films, I think Tad Stones and company are doing a good job on the animated.
And they got the same actors to do the voiceover.
Which is always an excellent bonus, just like the Matrix cartoons having the real guys and stuff. I think it only makes the cartoons that much better.
That's going to be a lot of fun. Well, speaking of animated features, Alan Moore is coming to The Simpsons.
Yeah, I wonder how that's going to work. I mean, now is...
Only we will get it.
Well, yeah, there's that, too.
Yeah, but how many people that watch The Simpsons are also...
Oh, yeah.
It'll be interesting. You know, it seems
I haven't
like
watched The Simpsons in, like, 6 years.
Well, I'll watch that episode.
Yeah, I'll watch that one, but...
Well, do you remember when Stan Lee was on? That was a great episode.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
when he's jamming the Hulk into the Batmobile.
Well, they're obviously, I mean, you know, Groening and the crew there are obviously comic fans.
You bet they are.
And, you know, Alan Moore, my biggest question about it is just, you know, Alan doesn't have exactly a radio voice.
Oh, actually, I think
it's
a great creepy
Oh, yeah. This has earned him a reputation in America as a recluse, though in Northampton he has a wide network of longtime friends and family. Like they're justifying that Alan Moore isn't creepy. Listen. You might think he's reckless, but he has family and friends.
He's a nice guy.
He's very nice.
Oh, God. No, no, not the accent again. No.
I want to tell you.
Those stories about Northampton are incredible. And I don't know if you guys have seen on YouTube. And I don't know now that Google owns YouTube if they've pulled
them
off.
Oh, I think they're a little pumped up.
But the little stories that he tells about his
well,
his
he does
town,
in the novel that he wrote.
Right at the
fire.
After the fire.
Yeah.
In the line
I mean, that's all about Northampton and about the sort of mythology
years.
and
1,000 years of history.
I think it'll be good. I think Alan Moore's got a really good sense of humor.
You know, Alan Moore, you know, his voice always reminded me of sort of Alfred Hitchcockish.
Absolutely.
The British Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah, a little more working class.
Is there another Alfred Hitchcock? Other than British?
Was he British? Oh,
yeah,
God.
Yeah, he's
color me stupid.
Yeah, he was British.
Good God. What did you think he was, like, from Jersey?
made German films, as well as films pre-coming
but
to
But
he wasn't German.
He wasn't
German.
God, he was not an idiot. He was, well, he was British.
We get to see how ignorant Chris is.
That's a plus.
Gee, great.
I always wanted to...
No, that's a... I'm dubbing for me as a comic fan 2007 as the year of Alan Moore for me. I'm really going to try and read as much Alan Moore as I can.
You can buy that T-shirt.
Not nearly as much as I should. I have not read his Swamp Thing work. I have
really?
Read Top Ten. Right now, I'm about halfway through Promethea.
Promethea is pretty heady stuff, so that's a good one.
About halfway, and that stent stuff. I haven't read.
Your reputation is tainted, sir.
Yes, what have you read?
Watchmen.
From Hell?
No, I have not read.
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen?
I have read the first two collections of League.
That's all there's been so far.
No, the two
trades.
First,
not the hard
not,
not
oh,
the,
yeah,
okay.
just
okay.
the trades.
Okay.
I haven't read Tom Strong yet.
Suck!
Yes, I do.
If you want a really good, if you want to get a taste of Swamp Thing, you want to get a taste of all this stuff, that Alan Moore's Stories of the DC Universe is an amazing, his Superman stories
his
Swamp Thing stories
are
just, yeah.
So, I tell you what, so for listeners out there, you know, read along with me. I may even start like a blog or something on the site and do, you know, my year.
Alan Moore.
Yeah, it's going to be my year
and
reading
his sexuality.
Alan Moore.
How important is
at the same time?
It's called 20 Years Too Late.
Yes, all right. Exactly. It's going to be how stupid is Chris for not
Smith
reading Alan Moore?
Smith catches up.
I'm starting with his Doctor Who stuff.
You're listening to Around Comics. You can even listen naked, and no one would ever know. But seriously, I wouldn't go around telling people about that, because it's pretty freaking weird.
Okay, guys, those are your top stories for the week, and that means it is time to leave the news desk, go over to Top of the Stack. That's right, it's Top of the Stack, our chance to let you, the listener, know what we, the panel, have been reading for the last week. So, Tom, you are our usual first victim for Top of the Stack. What you been reading this week?
I pick as my Top of the Stack Action Philosophers, number 7. It's all Greek to you from Evil Twin Comics.
Good stuff.
There's a euro on the cover.
Yes.
Is there really a euro on
the
cover? Being Greek, I would appreciate that. Look at that!
Yeah.
Wow!
It is... If you're not familiar with Action Philosophers,
you should be the
teaching of philosophy through comic books, which
it's so funny.
Not me. I almost got a degree in philosophy when I was in college. I was going to stay an extra year.
I nearly dated a philosophy major, which makes me a faux expert.
Yeah.
And I believe.
I have absolutely no marketable skills.
I love masturbatory arguing, which is all that fucking philosophy is.
Sure.
But I wish that when I took Greek ancient philosophy, that if someone would have handed this to me, it would have actually been really, really helpful.
You give me a textbook with a euro on the cover and you got
I mean,
I'm taking that class.
Story and art by Fred Van Lentz and Ryan Dunleavy.
That doesn't sound Greek.
No, it isn't.
But they have a Greek appreciation,
which they do a great...
I'm all for
which
it.
Is almost...
They sort of go over all your Aristotelian...
Can I query you with some Aristotelian
philosophy?
Why do you like Action Philosophers?
Well, I love Action Philosophers because it explains philosophy in a way that is actually easy to understand.
Is it edutainment?
It is the best form of edutainment.
Very
because
cool.
You laugh out loud. And at the end, I can actually understand Thales of Miletus, which I remember when I was in college. I could not understand a goddamn word about why it was important that he could figure out how tall a building was from shadows. And I'm like, what does this have to do with philosophy?
One tidbit,
before Aristotle and Plato, all the various sciences all followed the same rules. So the same rules that applied to physics would also have applied to metaphysics.
We're not going to get into a science.
No, I mean, it's
pseudoscience.
Let's call Neil Adams.
That ideas, everything all followed the same rules. There was no division between physics and metaphysics and all that. I thought it was awesome.
It's $2.95,
so it's 4 cents cheaper than
anything else. We had actually talked about Indy Spinnerack. That's the first time I'd ever heard of Action Philosophers, and they turned me on to the first trade paperback. A lot of fun.
Cool.
You know, grab it. It's really a fun read.
It's pre-Socratics, not pre-Aristotle. I'm sorry.
Pre-Socratics. Okay.
Pre-Socratics.
Okay. Correction. Sal, what you been reading, buddy?
Well, there's a lot of good stuff that came
great
out this week.
Great week.
It was a really good week. I think my top of the stack is going to have to be Phonogram, number 3.
Never heard of it.
You know,
Kieran McKelvey, you guys.
Kieran Gillen and Jamie McKelvey.
We can mesh them together. Kieran McKelvey.
Kieran McKelvey.
I'm sure they don't like that.
I have no history with like British pop rock. You know,
they call that Britpop.
Britpop, as they call it. but at the same time, I read this book and I really get a feeling of what David Cole and his cohorts are going through. I understand it because I understand what it feels like to really enjoy something that other people may not understand.
Well, you know what's interesting is I posted this on the forum. This cover and the actual story within it actually struck a chord with me because when I was, 94, I must have been 15 or 16. I was a sophomore in high school.
You
I'm a young man.
You whelp. I'm a young pup.
And when the album that this covered, Phonogram Number 3, is parodying.
Oasis.
It's the first Oasis LP. Yeah.
I remember when that came out, I had a couple friends and I, and we just obsessed over that album, and we listened to all the B-sets, all the singles, and they were amazing. And I remember being in love with that album for like 2 or 3 years. And now looking back, sort of like how the character in the book, I can't remember why. I like it and I remember, but I can't generate that same amount of, but I'm still attached to it. But I'm just like, God, I love that album so much. I listened to it so many times, and I listen to it now, and it's sort of nostalgia. It's not
well,
real.
I think that's a big part of Phonogram. Yeah. Is like I said, I'm not a huge Brit pop fan. I don't know a lot of the references that are in the book. I'm more of
Kula Shaker.
No, I'm not a Kula Shaker fan. But I'm more of a punk, post-punk lyrics. Kind of.
You're
of
a Ramones kid. Man.
I'm a Ramones, Clash, that, you know, Misfits, that kind
of
thing.
Oh, speaking of the Clash, when Indy Dave. And he's spoiling this
Am
book,
I ever
to all
be able
get
to
out.
Get to my...
when he's burning the records to stay warm, and he holds on to the Clash record, like, I'm not burning this record.
Do you remember that page?
I remember that page.
The guy showed up at the house.
Anyway,
get back to your review.
The thing that I thought really can, you know, reach out and make you connect with the book is that I'm not a huge Britpop fan. I don't know all the references that happen in this book, but at the same time, the story is so well written that I really feel what the main character is feeling, because I can, you know, I can emote what he's going through. I can understand what he's going through, because at the same time, while it may not be Britpop, it was whatever music I was into. And the whole concept of music is magic, it works on any level, regardless of what music you were into when you were younger.
Yeah, it's not just music. It's if you love something so much, it's magic, and it can be comic books, or it can be music,
right,
or it can be movies, or it can be a relationship with somebody. And you know what? At a level, that's magic, and that's what Kieran and Jamie are trying to.
We've talked to Kieran a few times, and we've talked about the book from a writing aspect. But I just want to say the last page of this book with David Cole and what Jamie did with that, I told Kieran this earlier, was that I just thought it was so especially gorgeous of a page, and it really connected with me, because I knew what it was like to be a bit of an outsider, and I knew what it was like to be not held in favor by all the popular people in whatever school you went to or whatever, you know, clique that you were trying to be a part
it's
of.
Something special that's yours. And Phonogram captures that moment where it's like, you know what, no matter what anyone else thinks, this is special to me, and that is magic.
Yeah,
and also I think that final page, there's very Chaikin-esque.
I think
in terms of using that kind of background and everything. And I think it's funny. I was working at WXRT at the time of a lot of this music, and we were playing a lot of these songs. So that's why I find it a very interesting series as well.
Coming to Chicago, because when I lived in Green Bay, I could never hear like Oasis or Blur or Cast or any of those bands.
The Cure.
Sure.
Well, if you're an old man.
By the time it was over.
But the one last thing I want to say about Phonogram is one of the things I love about the story in the book is the idea that how much people can change from when they enjoyed something. That it almost
the
seems
scene with Beth.
That it almost, but that really happens to people.
It happens to everybody.
Sure. Yeah,
I said this on our forum, was that everybody knows someone that they grew up with.
Who did a 180.
That did a 180 and completely changed.
Here's the dialogue
from
the book.
Don't read the book to us.
Oh, no.
I swear to God, Chris, I'm going to slap you. Don't read the fucking book to us.
No, I love this line. He's like, you know, how's the girl? And he's like, you know.
Next panel.
And next panel. He goes, settle down, works for civil service, will marry her boyfriend, and I love this. Or someone exactly the same as him. And it's such a great
line. But the
thing
that's fucked up about that is that Cole thinks
that
he's
he thinks he's better than Beth, but he isn't.
Right.
There's a line between...
David Cole isn't better
than
she is.
He's just less...
He's in a different
accepted.
Place. Yeah. He's in a different place.
He's attached to
For those who enjoyed the originals, the Dave Gibbons original graphic novel from a couple of years ago, that kind of talked about the mod generation of the early 60s, I think there's a line between stuff like that and Phonogram.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Absolutely.
And so, yeah, I would say if you're a fan of that stuff, and I know this show is a huge Phonogram positive show.
You think?
Yeah.
Positive.
To the choir, but, yeah, that's... That's what made me think. That's what I thought of when I first started reading Phonograms.
It's different and it's fun.
One more thing about Phonogram is that you know, and Kieran has talked about this a little bit, is that if you don't know what all the references are, it doesn't matter necessarily.
That's liner
plug
notes.
Plug in whatever music that
Black
you listen
Flag
to. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
MXPX or whatever
yeah,
band
it
you like.
Yeah, it can be anything. The story
Paul Abdul.
Is still
no
solid.
Effects. I know a bunch of kids that could fucking plug No Effects in.
Oh.
They've done
No Effects is a badass band. I don't know.
Done a 180 from when
best liner notes, if you want to call them, of any book this side of Casanova. Great.
Yeah.
The Phonogram, Kieran, what he writes in the back
I
of that
will
book
say,
is
though,
so awesome.
As far as liner notes go, mm-hmm. Criminal number 2.
Yeah,
you bet.
Good stuff.
Where Ed...
How about the Out of the Past review?
Oh, was that the best?
Yeah.
I read that and I went, God damn, I wish I could write a review about a comic book that well. I mean, the man is such a talented writer.
Fuck you, Ed Brubaker.
Well, and I guess Patton's stuff hasn't come out yet, right? Patton Oswalt.
No, yeah, you're
right. He's got that coming up, too. So, no, this is going to... I think Criminal is going to be a very fun crime magazine as well as a crime comic.
Yeah, it definitely gives
or
you that.
Noir magazine.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ed and Sean Phillips are really they're going
top
all player. Out on this one.
One last thing about Phonogram. I'm
fucking all right, Chris,
John, what's your thoughts?
Mine is the conclusion. I'm sorry, Sal, to the Batman and Son story that's happening. Grant Morrison and.
Huber.
You know,
let's not have a Batman.
I'm
going to
retort.
Adam.
Adam, thank you.
Wait, is it? Adam, Andy?
I just want the ability to retort when you're done.
Okay, this is what I would say, especially now that the story is wrapped up. I think that the Batman Ra's al Ghul story reached a very interesting point when Greg Rucka wrote Death and the Maidens, because we had the death of Ra's al Ghul, and a couple months later, the Batman Begins movie comes out, and there's Ra's al Ghul on the screen. What do we do when suddenly a very interesting villain, who's been wonderful for decades in the books, is killed off in a very great story.
In an amazing Greg Rucka story.
With Klaus Janson art, amazing. But where does the story go from the death of Ra's al Ghul? I think in a very good direction in this story, and Talia is able to stand on her own in this story, and I like the idea of Damian and what he represents as the son of the demon. And I think that we can see a future in the Ra's al Ghul story without Ra's al Ghul. And I think that his daughter and grandson are able to continue the tradition in a way that I didn't think was possible. Because I really think that the original stories by Denny O'Neill and Neil Adams, those are classic Silver Age Batman stories. And I think that a lot of really good writers and artists have been able to bring out great Ra's al Ghul stories as well.
Well, one of my favorites, the Batman hardcover of Ra's al Ghul, the
Son of the Demon.
Son of the Demon.
Mike
Marr, which
inspired this story. But that's what I'm saying. I think this was a fun story. I think I loved the location. I think it had great moments of humor, great moments of action. And my last word, I just think, like I said, I think Talia is a force in the Batman stories, and I look forward to their next appearance, both Talia and Damian.
Is this it? The story's wrapped up?
Yeah.
Yes, this is the final chapter.
Okay, now Morrison sticking around on Batman?
Yeah, I think he's taking it. Well, Ostrander and Tom Vandrake are going to do a series, and then both Morrison and Kubert are going to come back. And don't blow it off, guys, because if you remember, Ostrander and Madrick did that great Spectre series in the 80s. Oh, Batman was always excellent.
Ostrander.
Yeah, I mean, that's John's a great writer.
Sure.
And Tom is an amazing artist. And both of them did great work, not only in DC, but First Comics as well.
What was the first?
Rimjack?
Yeah, that was phenomenal.
Yeah.
With them on
it. Tom was the second artist on that. It was Tim Truman and Ostrander, but when Truman wasn't doing the art, it was Mandrake doing the great job.
And Mandrake did a great job on that.
Yeah, and also I'd say the Suicide Squad, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Ostrander's always had a good handle on Batman, and
certainly.
I look forward to the story.
My only contention with Morrison on Batman is the problem is I compare it to Morrison. And I compare.
You can't do that. You can't.
Well, but
do
I can. I certainly I can. I have every right to do that because Morrison has shown me that he can do more than what he's done in this Batman series. I just got done reading the second volume of Animal Man by Grant Morrison.
Excellent series.
And that is far and away one of the best uses of a small DC character.
Yep.
Let alone
a D-level
character. And what he does in that series is so impressive. I look at that, and then I look at this Batman.
Yeah, but you have to look at that as that a lot of writers have so much more freedom whenever they're using
a D-level
character.
No. Wait a minute. What about X-Men? New X-Men. Morrison had...
Oh, you can't use the
X-Men. Oh, certainly
you
I can.
Talk about the X-Men.
Certainly
that's
I can.
That's fine. I disagree. That's all.
You're telling me that he had more freedom with the X-Men than he did with Batman?
Yeah, probably.
No chance.
I think if you look at 52, Batman, all the stuff that Morrison's doing, I think DC likes having Grant Morrison.
Oh, certainly. They just signed him to an exclusive.
This
deal. You're telling me that Morrison couldn't have done more with this character. And I'm sorry.
Sure,
well, he can.
Again, Sal, I understand. I can appreciate your opinion on that. I think this is an exceptional.
What's wrong with
I
him?
Think
just
I think
what
it's
is
good.
Wrong with him writing just a good Batman story?
Because he has the ability to be great.
And who's to say this is the only Batman story? Who's
well,
to say
it's
when
not
they
finished,
back?
But
exactly.
You know what? If you're Grant Morrison and you are giving the keys to the castle, why would you all of a sudden just decide to do something mediocre, in my opinion?
Was the first new X-Men arc, and forgive me because you know how I feel about the X-Men, but was the first X-Men arc an amazing first arc where it was like from the moment that
it was very different.
Yes. I can't give Morrison credit. I can't give him a pass because it's his first arc on Batman.
No. Well, I'm just saying that.
I mean, he did.
This might not be the opening salvo to a much
it,
bigger
it may be.
Story.
I thought it was okay.
Like I said,
I'm comparing it to Grant Morrison. I'm comparing Grant Morrison
do you like
to Grant Morrison.
Detective stuff?
I loved his Dini.
Yeah,
I love Dini's stuff.
I like McGraw's stuff on it.
At least it was something. To me, at least it was something new.
McGraw's stuff, Alfred sounded like Oscar Wilde just eating a thesaurus, and he looked like the leader in one panel.
I can't disagree with you. I cannot disagree.
Alfred was a little wonky.
Minor topic like, to mention, Marv Wolfman is doing an excellent job on Nightwing, and truly, speaking of Alfred, the best part of the most recent Nightwing was the opening conversation between Dick Grayson and Alfred, and it once again proves, and I hate to sound like a fanboy, but that Dan DeDio was wrong, and that Dick Grayson has a very important role in the DC universe, and it's wonderful to hear him interacting with these other characters.
Who's Dick Grayson again?
Yeah, remember him? It was great, and it shows once again that Marv hasn't lost a step. Way to go, Marv.
Oh, Marv's,
All right, guys. I am so far behind in my comic book reading. I'm trying to get married.
Hello.
Actually, I have a job.
I think I already picked Justice League of America number one.
It was really good.
Yeah, like 3 weeks ago when it came out.
Two weeks ago.
And I'm not that far behind, but I finally caught up with JLA.
Have you read all three, or like zero through three? Or
no. Mark, can you put a reorder in on JLA number two?
That's for you.
Okay. This week I got caught up with JLA, the Zero issue and number one, and Brad Meltzer has me like actually caring about Red Tornado.
Yeah.
No, it's great.
Brett Meltzer is a fantastic writer.
Yes,
don't listen to the internet, people.
How about Roy Harper, ladies and gentlemen?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so happy about it.
Spoilers ahead. When Hal.
Most
and
people read this 2 months
weeks ago.
Exactly.
Yeah. They shot Kennedy.
Fucking spoilers.
Spoiler ahead. Lindbergh landed safely in Paris. Yes.
When they find the
baby's dead. Lindbergh's baby's dead. Spoilers, guys.
When they go to pick up Roy, and it's what Hal and Canary, right? Yeah.
Guess what happened in 52, week 13?
and they come in, and Ollie opens the door, and he's like, oh, let me guess, you're getting the band back together? And it's like, yeah, but we're not here to get you. And whenever
your problem is you're a Marvel
can
zombie.
Can you let me talk about
the
fucking book,
please? Because he's like, all right, no problem. I'm going to get my arrows. And it's like, no, we're not here for you.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay.
We're here for you.
And just how proud of Roy that Ollie was such a cool I'm a Marvel guy, but such a fanboy moment to see that passing of the torch from Ollie to Roy.
Brad gets it.
You're not reading 52, are you?
No, I'm not.
You really need to be.
I mean, you really.
Squawky-crocky.
No. Here's what you do with 52. And anybody out there that's like a Marvel zombie that's like Chris and not reading 52 because you're afraid of not getting it or not getting all the – because there's a lot of –
continuity.
Yeah, you need to be a DC fan to get a lot of the stuff out of it.
Oh, yeah.
But here's what you do. You pick up 52 every week, and you sit down and you read it. And as you're reading it, you have your computer open, and you go to Wikipedia.
So who's this?
And you
who's
look
that?
Up who these people are, and you'll get it. And
or
you'll
you
get,
can call,
well, and that's
or you can call Tom.
Chris, as much as you love,
but
that's why what's great about Zero and One, I'm sorry, Sal, but what's great about Zero and One is when you see Black Lightning talking and getting information from Phil Cobb, the signal man.
Yeah.
Now, Tom will appreciate it because I'm sure, Tom, you've seen in the 100-page spectaculars the old 50s Signal Man and Blue Bowman stories.
Yes, I have. I have all those.
There you go. And that's why it's like, yeah, this guy used to be Signal Man, and now he's just kind of a burnt-out druggie and stuff. Well, if you really, as you say, Sal, if you are a DC nut and everything, you know exactly
you're
who gonna
get
Signal
it.
Man
you're
is.
You're going to get it.
And it's just even that more of an appreciation. And that's because Brad was reading the same 100-page super spectacular.
He's got all those 100 pages that I have.
Absolutely.
He does, yeah.
No, he does, Tom.
Well,
he
question.
Does. And that's the thing. And a good writer like that can separate.
It's a problem. I look at it as a problem sometimes because, you know, like Meltzer and Johns and those guys.
Oh,
are,
they get it.
Wade, certainly. And Rucka's kind of getting there to some degree.
Well, yeah. He understands certain characters, like the Question.
It's a problem almost to some degree because if you're not a longtime DC fan, you may miss out. But I think they've done a really good job of you know, riding the fence.
There's a difference between saying writing a story where someone's like, I don't understand what's going on, and writing a story that involves history that says, well, maybe you would like to know more about this history, and inviting you
to enjoy it.
What's brilliant about the series so far, and once again, I'm zero and one. I still have to get two and three. But you
three
know,
for
Supes and Wonder Woman and Batman to be going through these characters and saying, this is why they should be in the league, or this is why they shouldn't be in the league.
It's an interesting conversation.
It is so
fascinating. It gets more interesting as it goes.
Oh, absolutely. It's like, you know.
Am I in? I mean, that you know, that's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
not to spoil it.
But that is
one of the coolest
lines. I'm geeked
up
about the JLA, and I'm freaking out about this because I don't give a shit about
pages?
The JLA.
Do you want
some 100 pages?
Do you want to read some? I got some Superman family.
Yes, I
well,
do.
What,
you
know, what else came
Brad
out this
Meltzer
week?
Made Merlin cool again in Identity Crisis and suddenly made him an important Green Arrow villain again. And it's that kind of brilliance that Brad is bringing to the series.
I wanna,
the good news is there's still another 10 issues to go.
I want to mention a book that I got.
I'm not done.
Vampirella. Oh, you're not done?
Go ahead.
Dark Horse 20th Anniversary.
Wasn't that fun?
25-cent special. I just want to say congratulations to Dark Horse for 20 years of fantastic work.
And fuck you for making us feel
Mike
old.
Mike Richardson says, hey.
Yes.
And, you know, Dark Horse is a fantastic company. They put out some really fantastic work. And that 25-cent special... Spend the quarter.
The 2 bits.
There's some art in there that is just phenomenal. But here's my suggestion: when you get it, put it to the side. Don't run through it real fast like you do a lot of your
get
books.
Get it slabbed.
No, don't get it slabbed.
CGC
but,
it.
But take your time. Take a little quiet time. Sit down
and appreciate
really masturbate.
No, no, and really appreciate. Really appreciate some of the artwork that's in there. I mean, yeah. Adam Hughes, Doug Mankey, Frank
Whedon.
Miller, Joss Whedon. I mean, there's some fantastic art in there. That
Eric Powell has some art.
Eric Powell is in there. I mean, there's Stan Sakai does a Sin City.
Oh,
I mean, that's the
that's
cool thing about. I think my favorite out of all of them is the Frank Miller does
Usagi Yojimbo.
Yojimbo. He does a Usagi Yojimbo, which is phenomenal.
That's
but
cool.
Even more than Frank's art is the color. And I can't think of the colorist's name. It's a woman. But phenomenal. It's just awesome. The color really just makes that piece of art. But for 25 cents, you cannot go wrong.
And congratulations to Dark Horse.
Yeah, absolutely.
For 20 years of great product.
Putting it out, guys.
Whatever.
Keep it up.
I'm just gonna
shut up. No, I'm teasing. Actually, I was just telling a few of the other Dark Tower guys that how much I love what Dark Horse has been doing with Conan. I forget the dude's name.
Ted.
Ted. Yeah, Ted and I were talking before about Conan and how great Tim Trimmer
Dark
is
Horse.
Doing.
Can I talk to you about talking to our customers?
I'm sorry, man.
Don't ever talk to
Dark
customers.
Horse has really done a great job of keeping the independent spirit of comics alive for a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, without them, there are a lot of books that never would have came out. And
for Hellboy alone... Thank you.
No, and the great thing is, from Hellboy to Conan to the Star Wars books that
Concrete.
They do an excellent job with. Concrete, of course,
Goon.
Is wonderful. Goon is fantastic. Getting Rex Mundy was a
Rex
wonderful
Mundy
way
to
extend an arm.
Fear Agent is now going to Dark Horse.
I didn't know that. Good for him. Good for Rick Remender. Very good.
We're going to be talking to Rick and Tony next week.
They're good men.
Yep,
I love
absolutely.
Them both.
I'm going to go through the rest of my stack for the week. Just to let you know and what's on my pull list? Why do you fucking care? Eternals, number 5 came out. Punisher Max, haven't read it yet, but it's always good. Ultimate X-Men, The Cross Bronx. If you're not reading The Cross Bronx, please do so.
Doctor Strange, The Oath, number 2.
Ivan's a great writer. It's been such a pleasant surprise. And if I may, Brian Bendis and I were talking about how great and how much
you may
truly
not
enjoy Mike Oeming's work.
You
right
may
Mike Oeming is
the
a
damned?
Busy little boy.
He's the Damned, number 2.
I
this
hear that. I hear
really,
that is a round
this
comic.
This is a good book from Oni. This is just a good.
Cullen Bunn, Brian Hurt, pick it
and
up.
And I'm not just
it's
saying that
because so cool.
Cullen comes to our site and he posts on it and we have a relationship.
It's
this
a good
is
book.
A good book.
Tales of the Unexpected.
Tales of the Unexpected.
Okay, there was a poster. I'm gonna go back and read Tales of the Unexpected number 1. I still like it. Haven't read number 2 yet. Going. To.
I demand a Doctor 13 miniseries.
Bullet
yes.
points.
I think it's
bullet
the funniest
points,
fucking
bullet
character.
Oh, hey, guys.
Isn't it crazy that it's Azzarello writing?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so nutty.
Bullet
points
number
1. Everyone,
fantastic.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed it.
I didn't want to like it, but I loved it.
But
Superman Family 185.
I'll tell you what. Reading bullet points number 1 the whole time, all I thought was they need an Invaders book. That's all I thought the whole time I was reading.
DMZ came out. If you're not reading DMZ, please do. I know Tom's not a huge fan of it.
I dropped it, like, I guess you said. It's okay.
How about Green Lantern?
I loved
14.
Green Lantern.
Ethan Van Sciver, Jeff Johns,
Jeff
Johns
doing
Hal Jordan.
Exactly what
I thought it was
Lantern.
One of the best explanations of sort of the problems, the things that make Hal Jordan what he is and the problems that comes with that, sort of
truck driving.
Hubris.
Being a toy salesman.
His hubris.
And
like
his
hubris,
like
his hubris is like what leads to
being
his
a man
problem.
With being the original man without fear.
Snap.
And I love Daredevil, but that's why Hal was chosen to be Green Lantern. And as you say, the price that you pay for being that.
Did you just say the original man?
He was the original
was.
Man.
Get the fuck
fear.
Off my panel.
I'm sorry, and
I
love Daredevil, but way before Stan came up with the line, that's how they described Hal.
But yeah, I
did
mean,
they
his,
really?
Yeah.
Abin Sur chose Hal because he was
the man without fear.
Don't
and,
shit.
And
yeah.
Ivan Reyes.
Ivan Reese. Wonderful artist. Wonderful artist.
It's
no, it's
book.
He and Van Sciver.
The man without fear. Yeah. John, I bow at your mountain of knowledge.
Okay, can I talk about a book?
That's what it is. Joe Casey does a great job on these miniseries, and I'm happy to see
Avengers Next.
Boo!
Turd wrapped in turd.
Young Avengers Runaways, which I am
turd
enjoying.
Turd tortilla.
Okay.
Turd tortilla. It was.
Joe Casey doing a great
Sal,
job.
Sal,
Heroes,
we've
nice
finally
Joe.
Done it. We've talked about comics. Are you happy?
Not really, because it's been silly and, drunken and...
They're comic books. Come on.
I have to say... Wait a minute. Hold on. Wait a minute. Tom showed me this comic, and...
Oh, sorry.
This may be the greatest comic book ever.
I got it off eBay.
This
as
may,
part of a lot.
This may be the greatest comic ever produced. This is the Secret Society of Supervillains number 8.
Yes. Yep.
35 cents, published in August of...
I believe it's 76 or 77.
Yeah, probably. Okay. It's turned the explosion.
There's lots of flashes.
Wait, no. This is who is in Captain Comet.
Yes, he was the chief...
Gorilla Grodd. Kid Flash.
And the Trickster.
All in one issue. With the booties. I don't know that you can get any better than
that. And there's a big-ass Spalding hat on the
back. That's amazing.
Inside, you have Star Sapphire.
Is that the Dr. J. Rick Barry Spalding hat that's on the back?
Yes, it is.
It's one of my truly favorite ads back in the day.
And Funky Flash runs inside.
Now it's my turn, Julius. It's the best moment when Rick Barry speaks and tries to out...
Rick Barry.
Because, you know...
He shoots a 30-footer.
Dr. J does a great typical slam dunk, and then Rick Barry as white as he could be, now it's my turn, Julius.
Perfect jump shot.
Yeah,
And one day my son will be the shooting guard that will follow up Michael Jordan.
Rick Barry is best as an icon.
He's wearing a sweater vest, which is
unfortunate.
All right,
guys. That's going to wrap up Top of the Stack. Let's move on to some listener voicemails. We talked about the hotline, which really derailed the show earlier. But we got a great listener voicemail from Chip Weed Rocker over in Rockford, Illinois.
Chip Rocker.
Oh, okay.
Weed Rocker in Rockford, Illinois.
Ah, hello, Chip.
Good Lord. All right, here's Chip.
Hey, Around Comics. This is Chip Weed Rocker on the forums. Just wanted to call and say thank you, Sal, for the sketch.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. And great topic. Homos in comics.
I got a lot of friends who read comics, love comics,
and they're gay. Thanks for the great shows again, and I'm really looking forward to Jonathan Hickman. Nightly News rocks. Talk to you later. Bye.
Nightly News does rock.
Thank you, Weed Whacker.
Thank you, Weed Whacker. I'm glad you enjoyed this sketch.
It's going to be the latest hour.
It was of the Saint of Killers from Preacher. He's a big Preacher fan. All his sketches are Preacher, so he begged me and pleaded that I would give him a sketch, even though I told him that I'm a horrible artist.
You did.
Nice sketch. It was great. And
Now Pat Loika wants a sketch.
Loika.
I call him Loika.
It's Loika.
Loika. Pat wants a sketch for me. And
I
that's
want a
it.
Sketch
that, I'm
Sal.
Done. No,
Sal,
I'm
Sal,
done.
Do
sketches.
Sketch?
No, don't request sketches for
me. Maybe this is an
off-air
conversation.
Chip, thank you very much. Last week's episode, the homosexuality in comics, we had a really fun time with that. Check out Steve and his podcast at Comic Book Queers.
Stevie D. And thanks for picking on me in your podcast, DVD. I appreciate it. You know.
All right. The forum, guys. Tom, forum.
It was amazing. There was like 4 posts. You could have made up fucking questions. Well, now I get fucking silenced like I'm the dick. You guys are okay. We tell you you're amazing every week.
I'm not bad-mouthing our forum. You go right ahead, buddy. You talk down to him.
The script says the forum was amazing this week, as always.
Thank you to everyone who posted comments on the thoughts of today's topic. Just so everyone is aware, we post next week's topic on Tuesdays at our forum at www.aroundcomics.com.
We have a contest going on.
We do have a contest. The Exterminators Bug Hunt. Go to www.aroundcomics.com and click on the Exterminators Bug Hunt challenge.
Or rewind the episode to 4 hours ago.
Download our flyer for the Listener LCS Challenge. Drop us a vote at Podcast Alley. Leave an iTunes review for us and Word Balloon at the iTunes Music Store.
Be as cool as Andy Parks.
Or what's your fake name, John?
Burt Wheeler.
Burt Wheeler. Be as cool as Burt Wheeler.
Nice. Becky to the New York Comic Con. thank you to Jonathan Hickman, Jeremy Hahn, any Vince
John Suntress,
Pat Boyka, John Suntress, Sal.
Thanks, Pat.
As always, even though
Tom.
You're not the producer
thanks,
anymore,
Jared.
you worthless sack.
Yeah.
Tom,
thanks,
Dustin,
I'm a worthless
sack. Pity on your soul for editing this train wreck of a show. Everyone,
it's
out
safe
there,
to say the worst thing this week wasn't me yelling into the mic.
It's pretty safe to say that.
Have a wonderful week. We'll be back again next Monday if Dustin gets the episode out on time.
I will.
In the meantime, we'll be everywhere in.
And around
rambling.
If you would like to suggest a topic, send us your comments, or are interested in becoming a panel member, email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. For that and the latest in comics news and opinions, go to www.aroundcomics.com. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next week, where the panel will change, but our mission stays the same, bringing you the best in discussion, news, and reviews in and around comics.